Welcome, everyone, to the Film Vault.
That's Andrew.
I'm Brian Bishop, your host. For today, top five feel-good movies. Updating a long-lost list from back in the old days. Anderson, feels good. Feels good to revisit.
Does it feel good, Brian?
Indeed. Are these movies? So I
do you want to preface this with like why we're doing this?
We are in case the
fine people have not heard. Perhaps
sure. If you're not a follower of us on social media, which you should be, at the Film Vault on Twitter, Facebook, all the places you can find social media. Yes, Anderson posted that. Yes, this is this coming week in just a few days. If you're hearing this when this will be released, a few days will be the 10-year anniversary. I don't feel like I'm jinxing. I feel like I'm going to make it. The 10-year anniversary of.
I almost spit out my coffee.
I feel like I'm going to make this one. The 10-year anniversary of my dire diagnosis.
Dire.
Yeah, from April of 2009.
Yeah.
2009. Mm-hmm. And here we are 10 years later. And a couple of weeks after that diagnosis for my final Film Vault of that incarnation,
right,
when I was no longer able to devote any time or energy really to broadcasting.
Well, it's true.
Not that I should be in broadcasting now, but back then it was even worse.
Right. It really was.
We turned me down a little bit. Send us out with top five feel good movies. Don't turn my mic down. Turn my headphones down.
No, I'm turning you down.
Because the turn my mic.
Hey,
up.
Look, it, Brian. We've been off. Doing this for a number of years now.
We decided to send us off into the abyss. Who knew what was going to happen later with top five feel good movies? And now, as a nice bookend, here we are again.
Yeah, I actually listened to that episode because I will be posting it on the archive here very soon, and. We're a little different back then.
Yeah.
This is much different.
I was pretty out of it.
We are much different than what we were for the really early stuff that I posted not too long ago from 2003 when we were just fucking around in the studio. Unlistenable then. This is getting closer to listenable, but still like...
It's not broadcast quality.
And you know, you're
not like now.
You're sick, so you know, you got a little slurge going on and you're still using Good Times and being a different version of yourself.
I was already into treatment at that point.
We also had Movie Whore on at that time.
I remember Miss Movies being a part of our show, but yeah, I remember Movie Whore.
Well, Movie Whore is in the Miss Movies, yeah. So we did a little red light, green light, and then we did our top five feel good movies, and it was actually a pretty decent little episode considering you know, that we were still only doing it for maybe 1,000 people.
Do we have gallows humor? Was I in good spirits?
Yeah, you're in good spirits, and it wasn't a terrible listen. So I'll be posting that probably. It'll be up within the next couple weeks. And your list was just your five favorite movies.
Okay, that makes sense.
Which I called you out on, but you like feel good movies. So.
I do.
Oh, and also, it was a different time, and I was definitely a different person, and. I was just calling them feel gay movies throughout the entire. It was never feel good for me. It was just like my number three feel gay film is. But you know, gay means happy, so
that's
I was being gay
all the time and gay puri.
It's correct.
Hey, can you do a small favor? Twist that thing so the headphone is. Twist it more.
Why?
I need that extra inch.
You're. Yeah, I can just do this. There you go. Stop it.
Whoa, that's an embarrassment.
Like literally wires exposed to it. Literally
wires.
Brian asking about it. He what? Just for the listeners, so they know what I'm dealing with. His headphones were a little bit too taut to the machine that we're using. Still not using our big fancy board, but honestly, I think that this system sounds a little bit better. So I don't know what we're gonna do. Shouldn't be saying that if we're planning on selling the set board.
The old one, which sounds great, you guys would be fools not to want to buy that.
No, but you can do a lot with that board, but I think it was a little overkill. I think that Logan really liked his tech stuff, and I think that was more...
It was the Cadillac.
This is the Cadillac. I drive Cadillac. You ever heard of a Cadillac? They shift themselves. It's a little Buffalo 66. Real quick, before I forget, because I can see myself doing this, the emails continue to come my way about the movie Us.
Really?
And I'm continuing to defend my stance. And some people are letting me off the hook. They're saying, hey, you just don't know horror. You just don't do horror.
Who's really into this movie?
A number of people have sent me emails, Brian, claiming that it's their favorite movie of the year. Number of people.
I don't often do this, but I want to issue a thank you to the listeners, specifically the ones who are not emailing me, which is 100% of our listenership.
Okay,
thank you very much for not sending me any messages about Us.
In like one of my numerous responses to these types of emails, I fucked out. I did a typo, and I typed out instead of U, capital U, little s. Mm. I did 2 capital U, capital S, and then I went back to fix it. And as I'm staring at it, something clicked, and I'm like, oh, Is that what he... US? Am I dumb?
U.S.
Is that what he was going after?
No, because it's stylized. You think? U, capital, and lowercase s.
But is it a double entendre? Yeah, you think sure. that maybe he's going for that? United States with the...
It's certainly possible. A lot of things are possible in this movie. None of them good enough to make it justify a good movie.
Moving on to two more bits of business. This one's a fun one. All right. My buddy, my friend, guy who I respect quite a bit, his name's not Brian. Nope. His name's Max. Max Landworth. You might know his name because he is the producer of a film that I wrote and directed and produced last year. And he was my...
Cult of Carano?
My main producer, Max Landworth. He has been nominated to raise a shit ton of money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, LLS. And he's got me roped into this, and I'm all about it, as is Brian. Brian's on board as well.
Man, I want to raise a lot of money for those
kids. And one of the many cool things about being able to do a show like this and, you know, talk to a sizable amount of people on a weekly basis is we are able to raise money. And we raised quite a bit of money for my camp a few years ago when my buddy Brian Border was raising money for camp. And now we're part of this. So what we're doing is kind of fun. You can buy raffle tickets. Each raffle ticket costs $10. All right, the $10 goes straight to the LLS, straight to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. But each raffle ticket you get is one chance to possibly, if you live outside of Los Angeles, you get flown out here, and you will.
They should. It's charity. They should pay for their own flights.
But that's part of it, right? So if you live outside, if you win, when we do this random drawing, Max, I'm leaving that up to Max. Then if you live outside of LA, you get flown in. If not, sorry, drinks are on us, bowling's on us. All of my podcast family is going to go bowling with you if you win this thing. So, you know, you buy five raffle tickets, that's $50. You got five entries into the raffle.
You just quadrupled your chances.
Either way, you know, most of you...
Quintupled? Quintupled.
The vast majority of you are not going to win, obviously, but know that your money's going to a good place. And I don't know if it's a tax write-off, but I'd imagine it probably is. It's got to be, I would think.
No, it would... Well, no, because...
It's a charity.
Yeah. They're not... Donating directly.
You know what? This is going on for the next number of weeks, so I'll figure out.
You got to figure out a way. Make it worth people's while.
Also, we're able to track.
Before we move off I heard you talking about this thing after.
Can I finish trying to raise money for cancer? Right. Can I do that before you make it about you?
Yeah.
Can you
make it about.
Oh, yeah. So now I lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
I'll pick it up.
No. Oh, yeah, we're tracking it. So, you can go to our Facebook or AndersonandBryan.com. We'll have a link on there, and you can click on that to get your raffle tickets. And we'll be able to figure out which of my three shows is bringing in the most money for bragging rights.
Do we have dates on this?
No, because we're going to kind of leave it up to whoever wins, and we're going to work with them.
Is there a deadline like for Max? Is there like?
Yeah, I think it's June. So okay. we got a couple months. Yeah, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to wax about it like this every week, but. So there's that. So we'll be able to track and see. And I imagine that the Film Vault will probably win, but I don't know. The After Disaster. Cinematics isn't going to win because we're small. We're much smaller. And ironically, it's kind of like, you know, we're all running for office here. And Cinematics is my only politically correct show that I do.
It's a third party.
But it's like a Green Party. It's like the Green Party. Right. It's Ralph Nader. So either way, I win.
They're going to play spoiler.
And Leukemia and Lymphoma, they also win.
That's the real winner right there, the kids.
So thanks, guys. I know you guys, I ask you for a lot, but I really don't feel guilty for asking for a good cause. And I did my due diligence, as did Max. And this is a really good society. So if you'd like to do that, please go over to AndersonandBryan.com or I'll be tweeting about it.
If you're feeling charitable and you want to hang with us, it's a win-win.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right, now go ahead and make it about you.
Oh, God. I've since calmed down. I was very upset when I was listening to the show.
Were you really upset?
I was very upset. And I realized that you probably recorded it before you talked to me because when you came in here on this show, we talked about it live on the air, you mentioned like we're going bowling. And at that point, you were still deciding between bowling and the zoo. Anyway, you very much under-explained the whole thing where I'm like, yeah, let me think about it.
I don't think you have any idea how you come off, Brian.
I might not. That said, it was grossly, that's a pretty gross mischaracterization because then like Tyler and whoever the guy was you had in there were like,
Mike Corona.
No, not Mike Corona. The Joe Dorville. Joe, that's right, Joe. We're like, that guy after all the cancer charity done for him.
I too was taken aback. Yes.
That was pretty dickish on your part. Dickish.
For those of you who might not know what Brian's talking about because you don't listen to the old AD over there. What's the problem? Why don't you do that? We're 10 minutes in. I haven't talked about a fucking movie yet.
We talked about that.
I did some Wired Exposed. Wires Exposed over there on the After Disaster, and I was explaining my exact interaction, 2 weeks back-to-back interactions with Brian off air,
right,
asking if he would be a part of this money raising for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Well, no, it wasn't. It was more specific.
At that point, it was possibly sitting in on the show, and I even told you that I had some like locations that weren't our like ultra secret location that we normally do the show from. I had other alternatives, and you gave me one of these. You went, I'll think about it.
I didn't so give
the,
you a
yeah, you
sniff.
Did. You did. The following week, week, I asked you again. I said, have you thought about it enough? You're like, I'm still thinking about it. So that was when I'm like, I got every right in the world to talk about this publicly. That's how my mind works.
I wish you would have explained it a little better. I don't mind you talk about things publicly, obviously, but
to
make it seem like I didn't want to raise money for charity is absurd. It's ridiculous.
You were kind of like, let me think about it. But I also learned that
you are the only person, I'm going to give you a compliment, you're the only person I know who does more charity work than I do. Time, money, whatever. And that is hard to find. And the fact that you do camp and you've done camp for so many years is incredibly admirable. But the notion that I'm somehow not down to like raise money or give that time to charity is fucking ridiculous.
I hope I didn't hurt your feelings, because that was not the not the point, obviously. So
but hurt feelings aside,
I don't think
let's raise a lot of money for the kids.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, not just kids. I mean,
I thought he was doing a kids' camp for leukemia.
No, it has nothing to do with camp.
Oh, I thought it was a leukemia camp.
See, now you're more wires exposed. You don't care.
Is he your buddy from camp?
No, he's the producer of Groupers.
And your other producer is a buddy from camp.
Yeah, it is gets a little bit muddled.
Oh, I thought you knew them both from camp.
No. Max is just my producer.
I didn't know that. I thought you knew them both from camp.
He's been nominated to be Man of the Year.
Wait, who nominated him?
I don't know.
I thought it was a camp thing. I thought he was
talking about it. No, it has nothing to do with camp.
Okay.
All right, Kate. Let's talk movies. Can we do? Oh, wait.
Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. That was Film Vault. Tough. I feel good movies.
And one last thing, if you're free, June 8th, Groupers got into another festival. It's a local one
here.
Not a big festival, but it's a local festival here.
That's a big deal.
And they gave me the primo spot, which I said, all right, you know what? Let's do this. It's going to be June 8th, I think. It's a Saturday at 8 p.m. in.
Wow.
I think Sherman Oaks.
Wow.
It's a small theater, but apparently people have had a really good time at this. So I'm just keeping the hype going. You know,
can people get tickets now?
Yeah, actually, I will put a link.
People do ask, or when can I see Anderson's movie? I'm like, you missed your chance.
I'll put a link up on Anderson and Brian as well. Tickets are $15, but with my code Groupers19, you can get them for $10. So not a bad deal. And I will be there, I might get drunk during the movie and then do the Q&A while hammered after the movie. That might be the plan. By then...
Do you want me to do the Q&A for you?
By then, we will also be placed, as they say, and we will have a distributor. I'm trying to figure out right now. I can tell you that some big-name distributors are on the hook. You ever heard of Lionsgate? You ever heard of The Orchard?
These little up-and-comers? No, but I'm not familiar with all the little grassroots. Of course I am.
You ever heard of Netflix?
I have heard of Netflix.
Netflix has no interest.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know. I haven't heard from Netflix. But yeah, there are some
I heard that he calls us Fuckflix.
There are some large-named distributors that I may or may not have mentioned.
When does the decision get made?
I should know by May. I should
That's
make
soon.
My decision by May. Yeah.
That's soon.
Yeah, yeah.
How does the process work? People want to know. You've been talking about this movie for 2 fucking years.
Well, I paid a producer's rep,
at this point, okay, you should set the table.
I was warned not to by a number of people. In fact, Brian, I was listening to an interview with a woman, and she was saying anyone who would get a producer's rep, especially like if they have a bit of an audience and they made a low indie budget movie, you don't want to get a producer's rep. They'll take you for a ride. And I'm thinking, and she's like saying, you just want to self-distribute. I'm thinking, that's what I'm going to do. Because I could have done this all myself.
Yeah.
But the chances of it getting beyond my audience is pretty slim if I do it all myself. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I was in Santa Ana. It was the last screening of my private tour that I did. And I was in the hotel room getting ready for the show. And I was like listening to this interview and I was getting all fired up. I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I'm not going to sign on with this guy with Circus Road Films. Her next words, right after I made up my mind.
Unless,
of course, you're going with somebody like really great, like Glenn over at Circus Road Films. And I'm like,
dashed.
So we paid him not a terrible amount of money, and it's all recoupable through his first finder's fee.
Right.
So for his back end percentage, which is also very low, reasonable. And he has a bunch of contacts. Thank God you're paying for people who they know. And when these contacts see that Glenn has a movie that he chose, mm-hmm. it's almost like getting into a festival. He only does like two or three movies a month.
Not a badge of honor, but it's a seal of approval.
Yeah, exactly. They will listen, and they will have at least one of their people watch the film, and he's doing that right now. He waited for Cinequest so he could kind of lead with a bang. Hey, this is this movie that I picked up. It just got premiered at Cinequest. And take a look. Here's a link. And now people are slowly watching it. It's funny. Like four or five people watch it every weekend.
Oh, you can see the tracker or whatever it is.
Yeah. That's cool. So and then when you get a couple offers, he circles back.
How many finish the movie?
Oh, most of them. Really? Most of them finish the movie. It's at about 89% play rate right now, which is pretty high. Yeah. So that's where we're at. And I should also say that Vimeo is not the greatest tracker of that kind of thing. So I don't know exactly how accurate it is, but. Anyhow, getting very close. And I was talking to Glenn just this morning, and I said, Glenn, no pressure or anything, but other than, you know, me choosing my wife, that might be a poor choice of words, but other than that decision, there's no bigger decision that I can think of in my life other than like who I place this movie with, because I could make the wrong decision and be fucked. And I don't know if you know, but Jillian's got me on a timetable now.
I know about this.
If I don't have it figured out, and if I'm not making something new or like making this happen within 2.5 years, we're moving out of state.
How long did this movie take? This one took three,
but yeah, once you get the first, everything was on my own. The hope is
that you get help.
Yeah.
Now you have something.
It wasn't because I'm slow. It's just I gotta wait. I gotta be patient.
Yeah, with your first feature, and you have no track record aside from you did the shorts. But you know what I'm saying? You have established.
If this one can turn a profit, or break even, or turn a profit, then I will be able to talk to people who can actually get me on not the fast track, but making the next one a lot quicker than this one. And the turnaround will be, I won't have to like make it and do a tour by myself and, you know, hope for the best, beat the drum. I would love to do the next one and not even deal with fucking festivals, because festivals are a headache. Really? They're a real pain in the ass.
Yeah, but you would do a festival if someone else like did the application and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I'd still do it, but it'd be nice to just make a movie and already have the deal in place, which is
a dream.
Yeah, it's kind of a dream. All right, here we go.
I know this guy. His name is Paramount. Mm-hmm. You talk to him. Mm-hmm. The movies all just get distributed.
It's funny, all these distributors that I'm talking to, too, they all have ties to the big guys. They've all worked like, you know, in very high positions at the big guys. So I'm talking to some really like connected people, which is pretty cool. And it's great to hear them say that they really, really like Groupers.
Nice.
You know, the one guy has a real big problem with a poster, so I'm trying to reimagine a poster, which I think I got a great idea for the poster.
Well, usually if it gets to that point, like they'll redesign a poster for distribution.
That's on me. It's crazy, guys, how much is actually on the producer. It's like they don't. You think you have this idea they say, hey, we'll pick up your movie, but we're going to make some cuts. We're going to make some edits. You know, you'll get final approval, but, you know, give it to us. And we'll, no, like, me, the producer, is in charge of, like, every last detail. Yeah.
That's weird. I totally believe you, but I'm just aware of so many movies that you see, like, the little indie poster, and then the poster that, like, once Lionsgate picks them up, they put out a poster for movie theaters and stuff. But maybe they'll be both. Who knows?
Well, I mean, those are bigger budgeted movies, too, so. Yeah. They got a machine working behind me. Well, I'm going to have a machine working behind me as well, but from what I understand, which I'm fine with because I'm a control freak. All right, moving into the 20-minute mark, still not talked about a movie.
We just talked about Groupers for 10 minutes.
All right, it's not a real movie yet.
That's true. It's not a real movie at all.
Brian, how dare you?
I've seen it.
All right, what have you seen?
I saw some movies.
I saw two, so.
Okay.
I saw more than that, but I'm only talking about two.
Okay. Well, you assigned me a film.
I did.
Let's go with the oldest film first. Remember you assigned me?
No.
Well, funny you should breathe heavily like that. Little Children.
Little Children. Yes.
2006, written and directed by Todd Fields, the last movie he's made. Mm-hmm. He also did In the Bedroom.
In the Bedroom, not nearly as good or as fun as Little Children.
In the Bedroom is very honored. I have not seen it, but looking at Todd Fields' credits.
Nick Stahl getting high.
It is lots and lots of awards for In the Bedroom.
Yes.
Award nominations, anyway. Patrick Wilson stars in Little Children, as well as Kate Winslet, Noah Emmerich, who's great, Jackie Earle Haley, who's great, Jane Addams, playing a similar character to the one she played in Happiness.
Yeah,
you know, she's the meek. You'd recognize her as sort of a meek character actress. That's sort of her thing.
She could have made the list last week.
Do I have meek? No. Oh, yeah. And Jennifer Connelly is also in this film, adapted from the novel of the same name. By virtue of the fact that it's adapted from a novel, it has a lot of voiceover, and actually a solid use of voiceover, Anderson. Do you remember the voiceover? yes. particularly. I believe it's the guy who did the Most Interesting Man. You know the
I saw this before that campaign.
So I think it's the same guy because the voice is very familiar.
Interesting.
So let me set the table on Little Children. Little Children is sort of this trapped in suburbia, middle age, coming of age tale where these married folks, Patrick Wilson and Kate Winslet, not married to each other, married to people who they are not particularly happy with. They're married. They have a kid. Each has a kid about the same age. They start making friends. With each other. They become friends through their interactions at the playground, and they develop a kinship. They build a friendship. A little spark happens, and next thing you know, they're in love and having an affair. And it is sort of, it starts off a little derivative and very familiar territory, almost cliched. Like, hey, things in suburbia aren't always as rosy as they seem. Yeah. Like, but beneath the thin veneer of perfection lies, deep imperfection. But this movie is very, very good as it starts to unfold, like these sort of compelling stories kind of take shape, like not everyone is like this 2D cutout. Like at the beginning, they're all very archetypey. Even her friends are very sort of waspy, stay-at-home moms, with all the snacks in the little jars, and their kids, they're all regimented on the timeline, and the husbands are nowhere to be found. They're at the park. They're lusting after Patrick Wilson because he's the hot guy who comes in with his kid, and it's all very tropey, but obviously they're just setting things up. It really unfolds and becomes very complex and very interesting. Jackie Earle Haley, who was nominated for an Oscar, isn't even introduced until 47 minutes into the film.
This is
a 2-hour and 15-minute film. It takes 47 minutes. I looked. I'm like, oh, we finally saw Jackie Earle Haley, and there he is, 47 minutes in. He and his mom. Do you remember the mom character?
I can't picture her, but I remember him living with his mom.
They look a lot alike. Like great casting. Like they actually resemble each other. Their teeth look the same. It's a funny movie. It's sort of darkly comic. It is in the it's not as out there as Happiness, but it has the same sort of dark comedy
tone.
Yeah, darkly comedic tone, especially in this sort of idyllic suburban setting.
It's not as absurd.
No, it's not at all.
Based in it's rooted in reality much more than Happiness. Happiness has one foot in reality and one foot in Todd Solondz's fucked up mind.
And this is much more rooted in reality. In the hands of a lesser writer. Director, this would have been very melodramatic, big emotion, big, over the top. But it was on point. I believed every character. At one point, Kate Winslet is falling in love with Patrick Wilson, a married man. She's married someone else, and she becomes sort of petty and jealous when he goes away for a weekend with his wife and his kid. Like mm-hmm. She actually is like stalking outside their house. She's like watching them leave because she's like, oh my god, is she pretty? Oh my god, she is. Okay, Jennifer Connelly. Oh my god, she is pretty. And the next time she sees him, they spend a lot of time at the public pool. And the next time she sees him, she's like kind of standoffish. She's pouting. He doesn't know why, of course. And she's like, how was your weekend with your wife and your with your kid? And he's like, oh, it's terrible. We argued the whole time. And she's like, you did? And she's like, he has a little smile. She can't hide her smile. She's so happy that he had a miserable weekend.
There's so many little nuances and touches like that in that movie. It's filled with nooks and crannies of goodness.
And then there's parts that are like, even the parts that are played for broad laughs are very funny. Like one of the best. So Anderson talked about the part, you talk about it often, the scene where he goes into the pool, he being Jackie Earle Haley, who's a pedophile, a known pedophile, a Megan's List kind of thing. And he goes into the pool with all the kids and like goes under with a snorkel.
Undetected at first. He's got the mask and the snorkel.
So that's very funny.
It's like a scene out of Jaws, but it's much different. It's much Predator.
Just as scary, to be fair. There's one part where he goes on a date with the aforementioned Jane Adams. He's set up on a date with this very meek lady, and she has lots of neuroses. She's on lots of psychotropic drugs, and she actually is kind of like at first she's very meek and very withdrawn, but she kind of opens up. Like she's like, oh, this guy's actually paying attention to me and asking questions, and like she's kind of coming out of her shell a little bit. And at one point he has her drive her home. He's not allowed within 100 yards of a school or a park, and he says, can you drive me home after the date? And she drives him, and he's like, stop here. And it's outside of a park. And and she starts to open her heart to him.
Right? Don't give all these things away. That scene was on one of my lists, but I think that I gave plenty of spoiler. A lot of people have not seen this movie. Okay. And that is a reveal that you are not prepared for. And Hope is the perfect person to field that indiscretion.
Yeah.
She was fantastic.
The scene goes sideways. I'll just leave it at that.
And upways and downways.
Yeah, it goes up and down rapidly.
Brian, stop it.
I was describing my emotions.
Stop it, Brian. Stop
I appreciate that Patrick Wilson looked competent during the football scenes. He plays like pickup football with his friends and like actually like looks like he knows what he's doing. I appreciate they didn't cast someone just who's good looking and couldn't throw a football. I enjoyed this movie.
I believe that was CGI.
I had to stream. No.
I'm joking.
This is 2006. Joking, I had to stream this
they had CGI
on...
I know that's probably shocking. Probably I was listening to an old After Disaster. You know, I mean, Film Vault. Mm-hmm. You know how old it was? I was talking about blue screens.
Yeah.
Because that's because before green screens, it was blue screens. Right. Yeah, that's how long we've been doing this fucking show, Brad. Right?
This movie time stamped itself as well, because at one point early in the film, Patrick Wilson says to, Patrick Wilson's stay at home dad. He says to his wife Jennifer Connelly, he's like, I think about getting a cell phone, and she was like, why? It's one of those, you know, 2006 things.
Like what on earth would you need that for?
What do you need that for?
All right, great.
So this can be rented on Amazon. If you rent it on iTunes, probably $2 or $3.
Worth it.
Worth it. Good movie. Fun movie. Little children. Check it out.
All right, let's get to the meat and the bones and the, as much as I love Little Children, and I think that it will be a service to let our listeners know that it's out there and that it is worth their time. It's one of those rare movies that Brian and I both really enjoyed. So definitely check that out if you've not seen Little Children. Also, before we move on from that, Brian, do you see what I was talking about? How it could like almost be a series, like with the way actually you don't know anything about TV, so
no,
but it would have been. That was good for. I think the story there, the characters there, would have been good for at least 2-3 seasons.
Which was this?
Little Children.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I thought you moved on.
No, I said before we move on. It's clear as day.
This was, I don't know anything about the book. I have to imagine it was
or TV,
a 400-page novel or something like that.
Poor person to ask.
Yeah, that's a good point. But this is rich with detail. Like there's a lot that could
have. I would have followed these characters for like a full couple seasons at least. All right. Here we go. I saw a film. That was kind of a signed film. I had Brian not talk about The Dirt last week so that I could talk about The Dirt with him this week.
Soft assignment.
Soft assignment.
Optional. I should credit.
You should. You should give me extra credit. Yes. Yes, yes.
The Dirt.
The Dirt.
Pretty sweet.
Directed by Jeff Tremaine.
Jeff Tremaine.
Written by Amanda Adelson. And Tommy Lee wrote the book as well as the rest of the band. All right, why don't you start us off here since you saw it before?
Yes, this is streaming on Netflix. It is sitting at a paltry 42% on Rotten Tomatoes. Douglas Booth, Ewan Rion, Coulson Baker, Daniel Weber, Pete Ewan. Davidson is in this, and Tony Cavallaro plays Ozzy Osbourne. What did you think of the Ozzy Osbourne performance?
Like a hyper-realistic, right. I guess.
It was like everything in this movie. Everything was sort of... I should, full disclosure, I actually know Tony. He's a friend of mine. And I thought he did great.
How do you know Tony?
Personal friend. Just known through... sort of through his wife. Both actor and actress.
Well, I mean, what circles? How do you meet him? You're not an actor or an actress.
I'm not an actor, nor am I an actress.
Right.
If you really want to know...
Do you ask? Is it like a wine tasting thing or something?
No. His wife was dating a college friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
They broke up, and we remained friends with both of them. They're both very, very nice people, and she married Tony. They both met at the Groundlings. They're both very talented, funny people, and we're still friends.
All right, so... This makes very little sense. What I'm about to say.
Okay, I thought I meant the movie. I'm like, the movie makes some sense.
Did you enjoy this movie?
So that I asked myself the same question. Do I enjoy cotton candy? I mean, I guess I do. I don't feel good about myself after I've eaten it. Do I enjoy corn dogs?
Did you say Machine Gun Kelly played Tommy Lee?
Did I say that? I think it was his real name.
You should have.
I think I gave his real name. Coulson Baker, maybe?
MGK, buddy.
Yeah, Machine Gun Kelly.
Listen,
I liked him, actually. I think he was my favorite one of the band.
Tommy Lee and MGK playing Tommy Lee, that character is a character that will stick with me forever. Yeah. I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah.
I really fucking liked
it.
And I got
corn dogs
so many emails from people saying, oh, you're gonna hate this movie. Don't even waste your time.
Really?
So many
people
hated it. And I think what might be going on, I could be wrong, but I think that like big Motley Crue fans are let down by it because like nothing's going to be good enough.
And it's also, it's R-rated, but it's kind of PG-13 in tone.
It's goofy as fuck.
Yeah.
It's self-aware, but it's like a perfect amount of self-aware. Like for me, because Motley Crue is fairly self-aware.
The fourth wall breaking is pretty hit and miss.
Okay, I'll tell you
exactly
how it works.
But Tommy Lee's POV segment, it's great. That one scene where it's like Tommy's day.
Yeah, that was pretty good. There's a lot of fun little moments. Like,
yeah.
This is exactly what this movie should have been. It knew which lane it should be in. It stayed in its lane for the most part. Now, the movie is singing for the entire first like 30, 40 minutes where it's just all booze and sex and drugs and rock and roll. It's based on the book from like the mid-90s that came out, right? The band wrote. And it takes itself as seriously as Motley Crue took themselves. And it's... like, I don't have any deep love. I like Motley Crue as much as the next guy, but like I was saying on After Disaster last night, I would never wear a Motley Crue shirt.
No, they have a couple.
My buddy, a really good friend of mine, had a Motley Crue tattoo.
Oh God!
Much like the manager got in the movie. Where the movie lost me, and there was really no way around it, but it's when it got all weepy and mopey. And it's like, we've all seen that fucking story. We've all seen the rock stars rise to fame and then their heroin downfall, and one of them kills somebody.
It's now, very tried and true for the formula.
And now they did that thing where they're like, hey, rehab sucks. We're not going to spend any time on that. We're just going to skip ahead where we're out of rehab. Yeah. I guess they couldn't have done that with the killing of the guy in the car accident. That would have been disrespectful. And I obviously the heroin was a big part of the story, so they couldn't just really skip by it. But I mean, it just felt so
like here comes the part where it falls apart.
Late 1980s music video that is just preachy, and it was not itself. All the stuff with and it was tragic once again with Vince Neil losing his daughter.
The girl who played Skylar gave the best performance in the movie by far. I was like a little bit choked up when she was like crying in her hospital bed.
She was all right. I think it's because you get a daughter or something.
Yeah.
But when this movie's just showing like the ridiculous, absurd, like over the top rock and roll stuff, right from the get go, where it goes for a great shot too. There's a lot of really impressive stuff in this movie that I'm a little shocked that people hated as much as they did. I was prepared to hate it. It goes from the Rainbow Room all across like the alley up the stairs, all one shot through the window, and you see this party going on.
It's not high quality, but it's enjoyable, I guess.
And it's inventive at times, and it stays in its lane for the most part until it's getting weepy, but then it doesn't spend that much time being weepy, right?
Yeah, it spends a fair amount of time being weepy.
And there's a couple like
Vince Neil walking through the rain is one of the most comically bad things I've ever seen. with the rain machine on him.
I don't remember that.
It was just a scene outside of his house, and he was like wandering in the rain.
And then he went to someone's door or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, get in here. Yeah, but you know what? I really like the cast, too. I thought that the cast, I had heard really bad things about the cast, but for the most part, the cast, I really like Nikki Sixx. I liked his whole backstory with, his fucked up mom and then Tommy Lee going, I didn't have any of that. I had a really loving family. I loved MKJ. Now, MGK, Machine Gun Kelly, I don't know if you know this about him, but he's completely tatted, like, neck to fucking toes. He had to sit in a chair for 3 hours every day just having the tattoos removed. Yeah, removed from his body for the shoot because he was, like, half naked in quite a bit of the movie.
Isn't Tommy Lee covered? Oh, he got to be the same tattoo.
And by the end of the movie, he has this mayhem tattoo and stuff. But I really fucking enjoyed this movie. I'm not going to run out and see it again anytime soon, but I might throw it on the...
It's playing your house.
I listened to fucking Home Sweet Home 3 times on the way here.
That's a pretty good song.
3 times, Brian. Not once. Not twice, Brian. 3 times I cranked that shit on the 405.
It's pretty fun.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, this is what Netflix movies should be. I feel like they should be just... Because when they're trying to get artful and, obviously they're going to have their aromas, but they're also going to have their heart hold the darks and their apostles, which they just don't translate for me on the small screen. I got to stop hitting this table.
Head away.
But I was pleasantly surprised. I know it's really early, but this is one of the best movies I've seen all year. One of the most fun times I've had watching a movie all year. And people that I know and respect.
I don't think I enjoyed it as much as you, but I enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed the aforementioned corn dog.
I know.
Which is good.
But no, it's more than a corn dog, though, because the performances were great.
Corn dog and mustard.
Brian, Machine Gun Kelly was very impressive. I'm not talking like awards, but he was very impressive.
He was fine.
I kept forgetting it was Machine Gun Kelly.
He was good. He was,
And I was believing that this it was Tommy like, Lee.
This is bizarro film ball day. Like, you're all about the dirt. And I'm like,
there were some really inventive shots. And it could have been mailed in, but I
agree with that. This is better than it should have been.
Way better. And this is the kind of movie that Netflix, I feel like they should be producing these kinds of fun, absurd movies. They wouldn't necessarily do that great in the theater, but... I don't know, maybe it's just the movies. Maybe they do make a lot of movies like this, and I just don't seek them out because I'm always trying to find, like, the next Hold the Dark that's going to actually hold my attention. All right.
Good. Or what's your second film? Because I already did one. I did
Little Children, and we just both did The Dirt, and you got a third?
No, I'm going to hold it.
All right. I saw Missing Link.
Oh, no, you did not.
I did.
With the boy?
Why wouldn't I?
With the boy?
Well, you know what? All right, so I was thinking about taking the boy to Dumbo.
Why didn't I see it? Because I saw the trailer 25 times.
What? Missing Link?
Yeah.
So I was thinking about taking the boy to Dumbo, and then I heard Bill Burr talking about how he made that mistake with his daughter, who was similarly aged to Atticus, and it was a huge mistake.
Speaking of which, yes, to that point, I'm only going to piggyback. A number of people on our message board area, comment area, were like, "Yeah, Shazam was fairly intense during the whatchamacallit, the boardroom scene." Did you see people talking about that?
No,
it is. Kind of weird how they got that through PG-13, because there's like beheadings and like people got anyway, it's intense for a kid. Yes.
So apparently Dumbo like opened up with a bunch of like, you know, animal abuse and like a fist fight that was quite gnarly on the big screen. And he was like, I didn't realize, this is Bill Burr talking to me. I didn't realize, you know, it was a Tim Burton movie and there was all adults in the theater. And I'm like, so I decided on that. I'm not going to take Atticus. So
is it PG or PG-13?
PG. As far as...
It's a hard PG.
I'm surprised you didn't see this because you loved Kubo and the Two Strings. And this
love Kubo. But no, this is like claymation.
This is Chris Butler who has ties with all that. I mean, it's a small little world. One of the reviews that I read, because I did read a few reviews of this before I went to see it, which I rarely do, but I wanted to see what the take was as far as a child, and I wanted to take Jillian and my wife and my boy to this movie, and they were saying that it was all good for a small child, which I can attest it was, however, a little bit too much plot going on for like a 2.5-year-old. Yeah. So if you got a 4 or 5-year-old, I think that they'd probably quite enjoy this. There's nothing other than a couple, you know, like slapsticky things that it's going to hurt them. I really, really enjoy. So the story is, there's a grand explorer who's out there trying to find, like, it opens up with him finding Nessie. And he's like quite adept at, you know, sliding down Nessie's back and back onto the boat. And he's...
It's Hugh Jackman, right?
Yeah. Hugh Jackman. What's the character's name? That's a character's name.
Come on. Is it an explorer or something?
He's an explorer, yeah. Sir Lionel Frost is his... is his name, and he's just looking for all of these. And then the next, he stumbles across through a series of events, the Bigfoot, right? Mm-hmm. And Bigfoot could talk. Look at that. And Bigfoot talks just like Zach Galifianakis, and Bigfoot is quite likable. Bigfoot, I won't tell what Bigfoot's name ends up being, but for most of the movie, his name is Mr. Link. And there's some funny moments, and it's enjoyable. And then one thing leads to another, and they got to go to the Himalayas or some secret Shangri-La and find the Yeti, because that's where Bigfoot thinks that he belongs. It's cute. It's sweet. This is not a movie that's going to stick with me. It's missing, like, for lack of a better term, that magic. Mm-hmm. Like, if we just had one more little thing or some kind of element or something had to happen and then you see it happen, and if it really grabbed me... It just doesn't quite have it. It's a solid like 3.5-star kids movie.
Yeah.
And it looks beautiful.
Would you recommend someone seeing it without kids?
You know, this looked a lot like Kubo and the Two Strings. It really was similar. If you got like a 4 or 5-year-old, yeah, you can.
But no, without kids, would you recommend it?
I mean, I would have seen this. I love Paranorman too. Mm. This is the same guy that did Paranorman. It's different. I appreciate, you know, I love good animation, and it's different than the CGI movies that we're also accustomed to now. And, you know, it's not like the old watercolor either, like the classic Disney stuff. This is its own thing, and I like it. And there's a couple pretty clever, funny moments. This is the kind of humor. Mr. Link is quite upset because he's on the train, and he's hot, and he's uncomfortable, and he's nervous, and he just needs some air. And then, what's his fuck that I just said his name?
Zach
Hugh Grant.
No,
Hugh Grant says, well, feel by all means, just go ahead and crack a window. And he just like smashes the window open on the train. Because he thinks, like, you know, he's very literal. Mm-hmm. He believes that means open the window, crack the window, crack it open.
That's what you do.
But yeah, that's all I got to say.
Oh my God,
they're talking about the name that he becomes on the trailer.
Is that... Oh.
Like, they actually showed his name in giant letters on the trailer. Oh. And it was like a fun little moment when he chooses the name for himself.
I'm so happy to remember that. I'm so happy to say that I don't remember.
Brian, you would like this movie. This is a movie you would probably like quite a bit more than me, I would imagine.
I
like it.
Are we recording?
No, we stopped recording.
Oh, shit. How far am I?
So that's it. Missing Link. Sorry I don't have a whole lot more for you guys. I have been working hard on the archive. That's part of my problem. And Brian, stop biting your nails.
So
and nothing, there's like shit that came out. Don Quixote's not even in LA yet. It's like only in Chicago, New York. Don Quixote comes out this week in LA. Yeah, usually LA is one of the cities. I thought for sure I was going to be going to see that. I should have caught it when it was at Cinequest last month, but I didn't. And now I got to wait until this weekend. But I should be seeing Don Quixote which I'm not that jacked about. Got to be honest. Not that jacked.
Yeah, we'll see.
Are you jacked?
No, not at all. I'm not even
seeing this. You hear what Brian just said? We'll see. That's kind of his attitude when I asked him to help me raise money for leukemia and to fight leukemia and lymphoma.
I'll think
we'll
about
see.
It. I'll think about it.
That's the exact tone. Yeah. I'll think about it.
Coming up next, we will count down some feel-good movies, 5 of them each. Fire, call your friends, let's write a song about the weekend. It's really not saying much. You have multiple dogs.
I got a couple.
You have more than one dog. Yeah. Are they runners?
No.
No, they're homebodies. They're not going to open the door. He's like, oh, close the door.
Stanley was a wanderer. He'd wander around. Like, he'd wander out the door if I left it open.
I remember him wandering a lot at Loveland Studios.
But I never have. I've been in households that they have the dog where it's like the door opens and it just fucking bolts. And I've always found it weird, Brian. It's like you have a captive family member. Like, you're holding them captive.
I find it weird from the point of view. It's like, why would the dog want to leave? You got food. You got your bed. You got everything you want.
Grass is always greener.
Oh, no, other things purchased.
What is that green truck coming my way?
Other things purchased on the Amazon banner atop AndersonandBrian.com include a Microsoft Surface Pro 3, 128 gigs, Leico Action men's watch. Ask Corona about that. He likes watches. Samsung panoramic soundbar, Samsung T5 portable solid state drive, 2 terabytes, PlayStation VR Borderlands 2 and Beat Saber bundle.
Beat.
TCL 43-inch 1080p smart LED Roku TV, HDMI video game capture card 4K game video capture card. Atticus trying to pee on the old toilet or just the old diapers?
No, I was actually just today. My buddy Greg was telling me that I should just go commando style with him. I guess that's a good way to do it, but that's scary.
Sink or swim.
That's scary.
A lot of cleanups.
Got hardwood floors. That's good, I guess.
Someone got an elongated toilet seat with built-in potty training seat. That's interesting. Cuisinart premium single-serve coffee maker, Moravian Starlight flower-pierced tin, bronze with marbles. I don't know what the hell that is, but thanks for buying it.
Hey, Cuisinart's got some balls going with the name Cuisinart when it's all to do with food, and Queasy's right there in the title.
That's a good point. You know what I mean? I think it's cuisine.
But still, Queasy.
Yeah.
Cuisinart.
Queasy, the art of queasiness. Original Philly seasoned beef sandwich slices. I'm going to go way over, I'm sure. No music, but I'm just guessing. Diff eyewear.
I can
Bella.
Make it work, buddy.
Designer, slow it down. Designer square sunglasses for men and women. You slowed it down right here. Scott's Turf Builder grass seed.
Not slowing shit.
Dense shade mix for tall fescue lawns. Sleepmaster platform metal bed frame for queen mattress. Bulwark flame resistant zip in and zip out jackets.
Zippity.
9 cable matters display port to display port cable. 2011-2018 is a filter and gasket for a Subaru engine. Stout by Envision EcoSafe compostable bags. PowerProbe 3 automotive diagnostic test tool. Monster Energy, absolutely zero. Pack of 24. Good Threads, men's straight fit. Washed stretch chino. Roxy drafting table lamp. And a DeWalt random orbital sander kit. Thank you so much for your click-throughs, guys. What about the movies?
Nice, thanks, guys. And here are the program tour. Look at those movies. Dragged across concrete. Yeah, I was going to say smart, but who knows? Really, who fucking knows?
It's above average. He liked it.
My buddy Nathan said that he watched it with a girlfriend. He watched it, loved it, and then he sat down a second time to watch it with a girlfriend. I'm like, let me know what she thinks. Three short hours later, she did not like.
Did not go over well.
I guess he realized that the bank manager got castrated in the second.
Yeah, game. Yeah. You see blood.
You see blood in the underwear. I missed that.
Oh, also like in Little Children, blood in the underwear from castration.
Four Lions was clicked through, as well as Fish Tank. That's a pretty smart move. That movie's fucking heavy, but it's good. Lady Macbeth. It's all just so intimidating to me. Anything with Shakespeare, I'm just like, am I gonna yawn to death?
This.
Two people got a Star Is Born. Not yawn time. Spider-Man Into the Fucking Spider-Verse. That's a cheeseburger.
Nathan,
I can chow down.
That's the one you want to eat.
Eastern Promises will click through, as well as Popstar. Never stopping. Fantastic Beasts. The Crime of... Why am I saying it with such gusto? The Crimes of Grindelwald. I mean, it's all just... It's just so fucking Greek. Yeah. I have no... Aquaman was... why did I just say that? It was such dim and bigger. Aquaman was clicked
through. Should we see Aquaman?
No. Venom was clicked through. 30% of the movie's great. 30% of Venom is fucking tight.
That's a good ratio.
And the kid who would be king a movie that I wanted to see and I still am going to see.
You still want to see it.
It's from the guy. It's the guy that did Attack the Block, Brian. Attack the Block. It's the first movie he's made since then.
Oh.
All right, those are the movies that were clicked through. Hey, guys, thank you very much for clicking through, and the ladies. It's really a big part of how this show gets brought to you. In fact, I a little more wires exposed here, Brian.
What's that?
During Brian's read of the Amazon, I was actually on Amazon trying to find new equipment that the show desperately needs. And in doing so, I didn't push record again. So we had to redo most of that Amazon read. But yeah, we're constantly buying things for the show, and it's a huge help when you guys click through. So thank you very much.
Every little click through contributes. So thank you.
Now back to the program.
We're back, right?
Yeah,
we're back. Time for some feel-good movies. Anderson, I had to parse through my list because I was tempted to put movies on that personally make me feel good, mm-hmm. but then, like we say, this film vault that we do is a service. So these are films I hope that people will get the same. These are feel-good movies. These aren't like, for example, I would consider putting Whiplash on my list. For some reason, the movie makes me feel good. Like, I'm glad that it's in the world.
That's where we get in trouble because, especially for like our film-loving audience, and this came up a little bit on the episode we did all those years ago, which is like a movie like Taxi Driver. Because I love movies so much,
right,
it makes me feel good when I'm watching it.
There you go.
But it's not necessarily a feel-good movie. Sure. Taxi Driver actually came up on that episode, and then I was suggesting that I could have made a case for it because that had a happy ending and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where I just tried to stick with movies that just make you feel warm inside for the most part.
Good.
I think on my list, only one of them will be questionable. No crossover. Also, before we get to it, let me just say that... you know, you and I, we have our differences, and we are very, very different people.
I disagree with that.
And I don't know about you, but of all the people in my life, you might be like one of the only people left in my life that I'm not sure we would have a relationship if we didn't have this in common.
You son of a bitch.
But no, it works, and I'm very happy that we do have a relationship.
I'm pretty sure that we would not have a relationship.
I don't know if it's the nicest thing to point out, but I think it's probably true. And it makes a very unique relationship for sure.
How's that Saison?
I'm drinking a beer right now. It's pretty good.
Good.
Mm-hmm. But let me just say that when you got diagnosed, I don't know if you remember this. But,
I don't.
What I said to you was that, and I actually heard me saying this in the episode from all those years ago, that I wasn't too worried about it. If anyone could beat this thing, it's you. It's your positive attitude, being able to overcome something as dire as this. And I don't know, you know, a lot of you listening probably don't know this, but Brian was given an unquestionable, no denying death sentence. And they gave you what, 6 months?
6 months to a year.
6 months
to
a year.
The initial prognosis. It was quite dire.
Yeah. Mm. And most everyone around Brian believed, all right, this is it. This is our last few months with Brian. And I was listening to that episode, and I remember saying those words, but I didn't realize how convincing I was until actually I heard myself say that.
You're a sociopath at heart.
No, I really believed it.
I really did
believe it. I wouldn't be able to... I don't know what I would have done if I didn't believe it. I don't know how I would have approached
it. Your way through the...
But if you remember when I came over, and like part of this is in the book too, when I came over to take you out after you were like many months later when you were really, really heavy into the treatment.
I was using a walker full time at that
Using
time.
A walker. And I, but part of it was also because I've been around so many sick people and sick kids that I'm kind of, I hate to say it, but I'm kind of used to seeing people in that situation. It's not like shocking like it is to so many people.
That is, I don't know if I put that in the book. I feel like I did. But the fact that you were uniquely qualified to, you know, experience, so many of my friends and family, the vast majority were freaked out.
It's disturbing to see somebody you know so well and see the drastic changes in them. But I've seen it so many times year in, year out with the kids. And so many of them, you know, would be healthy one summer and then I'd see them the next summer and they're like missing a limb and, you know, they relapsed and were back in it. So anyways, when I came over to your house, I was just kind of like, no nonsense. It was like, we're going to see a fucking movie. Don't even bring the walker. What are you doing? Let's go out. And I can't remember what the point of that was, but... I did believe it back then. I believe it today.
You believe the words. You know what you would have done had you not believed it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know how I would have. I don't think I would have been able to come over and take you out to that movie and just been like, "Eh, fuck it. You know what are you going to do? You're probably going to die soon." I really believe that you'd be able to overcome it. And you proved so many people wrong.
You had a singular vision because not a lot of people shared your point of view, especially at that point when I was doing very, very poorly.
I think you did. I think part of you did.
I also did, but I also naively probably believed it because I was just in, you know, I'm in this eye of the hurricane, you know what I mean? Like, it's just swirling around me.
I do absolutely believe there is something to mind over matter and willing your way to what needs to be done, and I think that you successfully did that. I think a lot of people with your exact body makeup and chemistry would have succumbed.
Adonis, yeah, the physique. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nothing to do with your pectorals.
Oh, I thought you were actually talking about my actual physical makeup.
But I think a lot of people with a different mindset would have just thrown in the towel, and you fought the fucker, and you won. And I don't want to say you won, because you still have to deal with things every single day. But you're winning, for sure.
Certainly came out ahead.
So, in honor of you.
No.
Which is rare, but in honor of you outlasting it all these years later, 10 years later, my list, and I think that this is what we should do moving forward because we've been doing this for so fucking long now, is update lists, but we can just do movies that have come out that we've seen since. So my entire list is comprised of movies that have come out since your diagnosis that you otherwise would not have seen if you did accept your death sentence.
I'm halfway there because mine are all movies that I've seen since then. A couple came out before.
Well, you've seen like 90% of the movies you've seen since then.
So pretty much any movie I've seen is on the table. Mm-hmm. I guess Romeo and Michelle's out and Princess Bride's out. But other than that, we're good.
You know what? I have four of my five that were on that previous list. Should I just read them off?
Yeah, I can probably track mine down too. Probably wouldn't be good. Our producer should have asked us to find those.
Well, no, I just let you do that on your own. I had a little princess. Alfonso Cuarón. It was fun me listening to me talk about Alfonso Cuarón before he was, well, he had already made Children of Men, but I was talking about how I think he's one of the best working directors today. And I'm like, yeah, pretty good. That was before Roma.
You came with it.
Good Will Hunting, Amelie, Rudy, and I don't know what the other one is.
So we did this early on. This is the one from 2009 then. Wait, that's not. Did I? Oh, God, this is not ranked at all. I really mailed this one in.
Well, you were sick, buddy. That's true. So give yourself a break.
All right, so I don't have my list.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Well, I know that Romeo and Michelle was on there.
Probably was.
It was.
Okay, no, sorry. I have a list of about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 movies. So some of these made the list, some of these didn't.
Shawshank was on your list.
Was The Natural on the list?
Natural was on your list.
Was Love Actually on the list?
Love Actually might have been on the list.
Princess Bride?
Princess Bride was your number one, I believe.
Okay. I don't know why it's no ranking.
I could be wrong, though.
Okay. His Girl Friday, Ocean's 11. Why Ocean's 11?
I didn't hear you talk about either one of those.
Maybe I left it off the list. No.
Anyway. But I don't listen even when you're talking in my headphones.
In retrospect, just specifically to listen to the episode.
Yeah.
All right.
That's why your levels are off every week when I'm producing now. And it's just like your octave, like it gets muted in the tones in my
your
house.
Brain produces an enzyme.
Yeah. It's like those noise canceling headphones, but they're built into my brain.
It's hurtful.
All right, here we go. Number, you want to go last?
Sure.
Since it's your fucking
list. I do, actually. Yeah, I'm going to go last.
All right, number five for me, Bri. This is a movie that came out in 2011. It's a movie that you and I both liked quite a bit. This is a movie that was remade and released just this year.
Motherfucker, this is on my list.
Oh, you prick.
Crossover.
The Untouchables. After he becomes a quadriplegic from a paragliding accident, an aristocrat hires a young man from the projects to be his caregiver, directed by Oliver... Nakashe and Eric Toledano.
What was the remake called? It was the one with Cranston and Kevin Hart. It came out earlier this year. The movie's been out for 2 months and I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, it was
The Upside.
The Upside, yeah.
Was that it?
That's it.
The Untouchables is a very sweet, really, really great French movie. It was a real phenomenon too. Like it was like a huge, huge phenomenon over in France, won a bunch of awards. 2011 film, yeah, Anderson. Mm-hmm. The odd couple dynamic, obviously the older aristocratic gentleman and the young black guy.
Based on a true story. The true story is actually a white aristocrat, man of money, who is a quadriplegic and he needs an assistant. And he did hire a ne'er-do-well, somebody who wasn't really qualified, but he wanted to have somebody who was a bit of a live wire because he didn't want to have a quiet, lonesome life.
Where can this be screened?
But it wasn't a black guy. It was the true life story. It was a Muslim or an Arab.
I don't like that.
Brian. So what? Where does this fall on your list?
Number five.
Really?
I moved it from four to five.
I don't like this at all. In touch. I don't like this at all.
The Intouchables.
All right.
Can be rented on Amazon for $3. I highly recommend it, guys. This is a crowd pleaser. This is a fun movie. This is a sweet movie. How long is it? It's short. No, it's just under 2 hours. But
I was fortunate enough to see this.
As Anderson would say, it goes down smooth.
Goes down smooth. I saw this in the theater because it had a limited release out here because of all the success that Brian alluded to over there overseas. And it was great seeing this on the big screen. A really touching movie. And I do believe that I got a little bit choked up.
Yeah,
and it makes you feel good.
It's a heartstring tugger.
Appreciate your own life and see all the things that you may take for granted. Yep. That's all in there, and those are the feelings you'll get.
It's a light comedy too. This is a fun movie. Moves along briskly. This is good.
Number four for me. This is where I might get some shit about Feel Good. Mm-hmm. I might get some shit a couple different angles on this one. I know this one's not on your list because it's on very few people's lists at all. This is a movie that I was kind of alone in my love of, but I absolutely love it. It makes me feel very good.
All right.
And it's directed by Neil Blomkamp. Came out in 2015.
Oh, Chappie is on my list too.
No, it's not. I love my Chappie.
This is a feel-good movie?
It makes you feel good because you feel so bad for Chappie. You feel so bad for the robot, but then he overcomes. He perseveres.
He's a sweet puppy dog.
And,
what was the dog movie you assigned me? Was it Hachi, where the one where the dog's like trained to kill or like trained to fight?
No, it's White Dog.
Was it White Dog?
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of that where like it's a sweet dog and then it's sort of trained to do bad things, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, kind of sweet at the end of the day.
Ice the streams. I'm a sucker for like when bad people end up teaming up with something good, and that's mm-hmm. definitely what happens in Chappie mm-hmm. with the Antwoord being his de facto parents.
Yep.
And you know, they like
they're
live
trying
a life
to teach
of crime
the world.
But they end up, you know, kind of acquiescing and then seeing his way. It's schmaltzy, it's hokey, but it got me, and I think a lot of it had to do with Copley's rendition of Chappie.
Okay.
And I bought Chappie head over heels, and it's one of the lowest rated movies that I absolutely love. Like, it was my top 10 that year. I think top 5.
Really?
2015. Damn. I loved my Chappie. So Chappie's number four feel good movie that I have seen since your diagnosis.
I really should be writing down or looking at
Chappie. Heist is crimes. Guys, it's such a great simple line. Like, they're trying to get him to do crimes, and then they start like manipulating him, lying. And I need to see Chappie again. Remember, they're like coming up with reasons why, like, oh, no, that guy, he took the car from an old lady. Something like, along those lines. Why do people hate it so much? Hugh Jackman's character is a little bit cartoony.
There are great elements to the movie, like the Chappie character. And
oh, never mind. I remember why people hated it, because D'Antwoord.
The D'Antwoord part isn't so bad.
That's like, they're the stars of the fucking
movie,
really, and they're not actors.
Yeah. It was a little rough around the edges.
I need to watch that again. That's fun. You know what? Damn this show, Brian. Because of this show and Cinema Dicks, to a lesser extent, I guess, I don't indulge myself and allow myself to watch movies repeatedly because I don't have time. I need to watch new movies. Oh,
guess what's streaming on Netflix?
Oh.
Not Chappie. No, Chappie's absolutely streaming on Netflix.
I might have to get hammered and watch Chappie tonight.
Chappie's pretty great.
I need to watch Chappie tonight. No, I got to watch Touch of Evil. Fuck.
You never seen it?
No, I've seen it. I just got a review.
Why?
This project I'm doing. God, I want to watch Chappie. Just let me watch Chappie. Touch life. I can't watch Chappie with a boy, can I? Oh, no. Oh, no. Mean. Oh, no. Mean.
I think you'd like it.
I don't like it. Mm. No, I don't like it.
Isn't there a big bad robot, too? It's kind of scary.
All right. Chappie. 2015. Mm-hmm. Number four.
Number four. Different. But it's come up. I haven't talked about this movie in a long time, but when I first saw it, I was talking about it a lot because it is a movie that I loved. It is a movie that made me cry. It's a movie that made me weep, Anderson, weep. And you might think that, funny for a feel-good movie, the movie that made me openly weep on more than one part of the film. But it left...
What? Sorry, I just did Tommy Lee out of the fucking blue. Sorry.
Tommy Lee. But Young at Heart from 2008 is a feel-good movie when
Young
all is said and done.
At, like the actual
like
sign.
The ampersand. Is that what it's called?
No, that's the and.
Oh, okay. Young at Heart is about the documentary about the Young at
yes,
Heart.
You can. Yes, you can.
Oh, so great. Yeah, a chorus of senior citizens who sing in Massachusetts apparently, and directed by Stephen Walker, 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. How anyone could give this a bad review is beyond me. This movie moved me. It touched me. It is incredibly sweet.
People who don't like to be touched.
Old. It's all senior citizens singing like modern pop songs and rock songs in this choir, and they go around to other senior homes. They go to schools. They go to prisons. Old people do what old people do, and some of them don't make it to the end of the film, and it is crushing but inspiring. Never have I been so devastated and inspired in the same movie. This is a movie I want to show Tessa someday. I'm excited to show it to her, young at heart. Used to be streaming on Netflix. It's not anymore, but you can rent it for like $3 on iTunes. I highly recommend it. This is a movie you can watch with your teenage kids, young kids maybe even, but this is also a great date night movie. I fucking love Young at Heart.
I liked it.
The part at the end where the guy's doing the solo Coldplay song was just devastating.
I think you might have had a stronger connection to it because of your love of the actual music as well, which I didn't have.
It certainly helped.
I can't remember what my critiques were or what my problems were with the movie, but
there's
no
problems.
I didn't find it as accessible as you did.
Oh, like, my God.
I had some issues.
it's just like putting your mouth underneath a soft serve yogurt like thing and just putting it in. Mm-hmm. It just goes down smooth. Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
You know, I got that from Mr. Furley. Mm. When Mr. Furley and Three's Company, he'd take a shot of something and he would try and be cool and be like, smooth, smooth.
My uncle used to do that.
I wonder if he got that from Mr. Furley.
I'm sure he did. He's funny. He's a funny guy. Yeah. Young at Heart, you guys. Check it out. Love that movie.
Yeah. I ever tell you the Tommy Lee story? My Tommy Lee story?
Was it our Tommy Lee story? Was he at Loveline?
Yeah. And then did you go to the bar with us after?
The cop bar that you
came?
No longer welcome at?
Well, I still go there. I might go there tonight.
I think it fueled your hatred of me because I was new on Loveline at that point. And at some point, Tommy Lee was kind of hanging out by himself. And I just walked right up to him and struck him a conversation. I mean, I'd known him from
the previous at the bar?
Hours. Yeah, yeah. I was like, hey, let's
so
hang
Tommy
out.
Lee was a guest on Loveline many, many years ago.
Really sweet guy.
He was. He came straight from doing Leno. I think it was a Leno, the Tonight Show. And his people were talking about how he wanted to watch himself on Leno when it aired. Out here on the West Coast.
During his Loveline appearance, when we played songs, Adam and Drew would go to the bathroom and get coffee or whatever, and we were playing Tommy's cover. He released a cover of Fame by David Bowie, and he sat in the recording booth, in the on-air booth, headphones on, air drumming to his own song.
Yeah, yeah. Every now and again, bands would do that. Like, they'd really get into their own song, and they'd listen on the headphones. It's like, how are you not sick of your fucking song yet? But that would happen. Remember, Ice-T did that, and he was just listening to it and staring at Adam and Drew, and they were very uncomfortable. And he was just sitting there listening to his own song, very serious, like mad dogging them almost. Anyway, so his people were like, hey, he wants to be able to watch himself. So we're talking about having him hang out at the studio afterwards, and he's watching on a little shitty TV. And I'm like, you know, I go to a bar all the time afterwards. I can call over there and see if they'd put it on the TV.
Weird thing to say to a recovering alcoholic.
It was pretty sweet, though. Yeah, I know. So I called him up.
Pretty sweet.
I called the girl that I was kind of dating at the time, who was a bartender over there, and she's
Karen?
She's like, it's karaoke night, but we'll shut it down for Tommy. Bring him over, because she's like obsessed, right? So next thing you know, it's like 12:15. We're rolling in there like with his people and Tommy Lee in tow, and then we walk into the fucking bar and kind of like shut the bar down because Tommy Lee's here. He's like a larger than life character. So they shut down the karaoke for a minute. They put the Tonight Show on all the TVs, and he's kind of sitting there watching himself. And like only Tommy Lee's like one of very few people that could probably get away with something like that, right? Oh, there I am on TV, yeah. Oh. And
it's very genuine.
And then we went out on the patio, we smoked a cigarette, and like it was just cool. He was just hanging out. The girl that I was kind of dating, who was obsessed with him, I remember she licked his face, which was odd, but she did that. And
what's odd about that?
It was cool. And then Tommy went on his way, and I ended up getting hammered. But here's the best part. I know I've told this somewhere, so forgive me if you've already heard this, if you listen carefully or closely, but it's not like I tell the story all the time. I'll never forget. He leaves. Karaoke comes back on. There's pool tables in there. I'm standing by one of the pool tables, and I hear this conversation happen. Dude, did you see that fucking what happened, dude? Like, Tommy Lee came over, and he's like, fucking dude, stop playing pool. I'm trying to watch myself on TV. And I'm like, fuck you, bro. And I just fucking took the shot. You know, I just fucking broke it. Fuck that guy. And I'm like, hey, dude.
Is that what went down?
I was standing right here, and none of that happened. You're making all of that shit up. That's how a bad rumor, like that's how rumors start about people. Like that guy just wanted to like talk shit, and none of that happened.
If you had a friend in LA tell you that that happened to him, and this is the friend we're talking about, hear it from us. It is not true.
Not true. No. Right. Well, I shamed him in front of his friends.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I told him. I went up and I said, "Hey, look, I was standing right here the entire time that he was watching himself on TV." Which I'll give you, it was a little odd.
That was a little strange.
A little weird. Yeah. But he didn't. He didn't tell you not to play pool, and you didn't play pool. Mm. All right, you were standing there watching with him. So, all right.
Tubman is very, very puppy dog-ish. He's a nice, like, you know, guy.
And for those of you who think that producer Anderson just fucked up and
Bill's moving important is furious
and edited something in that out of place. No, that's how the conversation just went. Like Brian talked about his number four or whatever it was, and then I just said, "Hey, do you ever hear my Tommy Lee story?" That's how that just went down. Number three for me,
Young at Heart.
Number three for me. Oh. I'm not doing Love Actually, Brian, because that came out before your diagnosis. And Love Actually. Love Actually gets way too much love on this here program.
It actually does.
I'm doing something similar, though.
If you say The Holiday, I'm going to leave the show.
About time, Brian.
No.
About fucking time.
I can see it being a feel-good movie.
It's a feel-good.
It's soft around the edges.
It's a good movie. Also written and directed by Richard Curtis.
Marginal.
Starring Domhnall Gleeson, Rachel McAdams, and Bill Nighy.
Soft around the edges.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah, I need a little rub. There was just the movie was too easy. It was
you're too easy.
Underwritten.
You know that? You're too fucking easy. How about that?
Okay. It's a feel good movie though. Well, I'll meet you halfway.
There's no halfway meeting. I don't want to meet you anyways, Brian.
If it makes you feel good, good.
Here's the thing about time. It's a time travel movie.
Indeed.
It's based and centered around the plot device that gets us to where we need to go with this movie. Is one of the most absurd, ridiculous ideas you could ever come up with, which is, hey, it runs in our family. We can travel through time. You just got to go in that closet right there and concentrate, and then there you go. That was the premise. Yet it still worked. It still had me buying in. Not hook, line, and sinker, but I really enjoyed it. I bought into it. I love the characters. Domhnall Gleeson's like fucking peaking in this movie. He's fantastic. And it's sweet. And it's a feel-good movie, and it's on my list at number three, Brian.
Okay.
So eat a dick.
That doesn't feel good. That's not nice.
Yeah, it's true. Like,
can this movie hold on?
I should
look this up.
I might have gone a little too far there.
It really was aggressive.
I'm sorry. My apologies. Okay. Love Actually.
Oh, Hallelujah. This one. Oh, okay, sweet. My next one's streaming on Amazon Prime.
Mm.
Oh, you're in luck.
And no one heard what you just said except for me.
Sorry. You're in luck. You want to hear my next one?
Nah, Brian. Let's just.
I'm going to come up next.
When did Young at Heart come out? 2007?
2008. Well, I mean, it's one of those independent, you know, documentaries. Could have come out anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, I think it was theatrical release.
All right.
Number three for me. Came out before my diagnosis, but I think I caught up with it later. I don't know when I saw this movie, and I don't even know what made me think of it. It's not it's a very small movie. I think you've seen it.
My God, what is the movie, Brian? What
did
is
you,
the
did you see
movie?
The documentary My Date with Drew?
Nah, that movie's lame.
No, it's not. That's a flat. So that's lame. A sweet movie.
It was a phenomenon. He made it with his own camcorder, and he just tried to get a date with Drew Barrymore, and he was very persistent.
I didn't say it was a phenomenon at
continue.
All.
Well, it was.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember.
Like, everyone knew about that shitty little bullshit movie where it's some
it's not
guy
shitty at all. How
who's
dare
like,
you?
I'm going to get a date with Drew Barrymore. I don't even know if I actually sat through it. I don't think I did. I walked.
You, listener, can sit through it. It's streaming on Amazon Prime. If you're a member, you can stream it right now for no additional cost.
I don't know if I ever saw it.
My Date with Drew is a very sweet movie about what the guy's name.
It's about a stalker is what it's about.
Brian, God damn it, I wrote it down.
Mark. He's like a shyster.
No, he's a director. Brian Herzlinger.
What's he direct?
Brian wins $1,100 on a game show where, ironically, the winning answer was Drew Barrymore. Mm-hmm. And he's a huge Drew Barrymore fan, and his dream is to have a date with Drew Barrymore. And he buys a camera from Circuit City, which was a store back then, and he sets out on a mission to land a date with Drew Barrymore. And he's interviewing friends of people who know her, you know, friends of friends, blah, blah, blah. And he sits down with, like, Eric Roberts and Corey Feldman and John August, people who, like, you know, sort of celebrities who know her. He actually sneaks into a premiere of Charlie's Angels 2. And this is all, you know, following him. He's the director. He's the subject. He's trying to track down Drew Barrymore. And it ends in a very sweet, sweet way. This movie is made with the
gonorrhea.
This movie is made with that would not be sweet. It's made with the perfect tone. It's like, it's playful. It doesn't take it too seriously. It's not precious. It's just kind of like silly and fun. And you like this guy. He's a likable dude.
I think that was what I didn't know that I found found him likable. I think he was unlikable.
I found him totally likable. He's just a normal dude. You felt for him, and you're like, yeah, I want this guy to get a date with Drew Barrymore.
Maybe I didn't see this movie. I mean, I remember it very well. It was pushed hard. I mean, there's trailers.
It's a really sweet movie.
Maybe I only saw bits and pieces. It's streaming now on Amazon Prime, if you didn't say that. Did you say Netflix or
Amazon? Amazon Prime. Okay.
All right, well, coming up next, Brad.
Yeah, more feel-good movies. I'll get ready to feel good.
Cover me in leaves, I'd be a willow. Cover you in tears, you'd be the same.
Hey, y'all. We've gone pretty easy on the Patreon talk this episode. Hope you appreciate that. But I'm going to take this opportunity in a little break here to remind you guys that Patreon is the way to support the show.
That's right.
For just $5 a month. You get a lot of stuff. Anderson is busting his ass putting up old episodes.
Trying to over-deliver.
Some not even episodes. Some just like demo tape.
Here's what you get for $5, all right? You're going to get... The entire catalog will be up there, I'm thinking, within the next couple weeks. So
We're really over-delivering.
Yeah, so it's all going to be your own little RSS feed. I have the logo is a different color. It's like really classy, like black and white film vault logo that you'll get in your RSS feed instead of the classic red one that we have. So it's almost like, it's like next level stuff. And then, we only have the most recent, I think, 20 episodes is available on our regular iTunes feed. And
right.
When you... become a Patreon member, immediately you will have everything. By the time I'm done building the archive, you will have everything from episodes from 2003 until yesterday. You will also have all the sniff tracks in there. You will also have all of the bonus spoiler talk that we have that we do from time to time. You'll have it all. So you'll have like over 700 sound files of the film vault from over the last like 17 years or 16 years or whatever it is.
I'm laughing at something very timely. In addition to that, we also recorded a Sniff Track, which is coming soon. Mm-hmm. Did you release that?
Oh, yeah. Clockwork Orange is on there, yes.
Okay, good, because someone made a meme about it with quotes. Can you read the quotes?
She's very flexible, Bald Brian. Her body disturbs me, says Anderson. Those are two things that were said during that scene with the cat lady in A Clockwork Orange, if you listen to Sniff Tracks. But
Carlisle Go. Thanks, Carlisle.
But Patreon is a great way to not only support the program, but also if you like the Film Vault, you get more Film Vault. And like, I know $5 isn't anything to sneeze at. I hate it when people go, just for the cost of coffee, man, just give me $5 a month. I get it, but I like to think that the show is a service, and we are going to make that money worth it to you by helping you make wiser decisions or turn you on to movies you would have otherwise missed for some of the subscriptions that you pay for. So, our goal is to get up to $1,000.
That's way too much.
1,000 Patreon members. That's our goal.
We're going to come $5 to $1,000.
And no, we're not going to do $1,000. It's just $5 a month across the board. We should have different tiers. We should have different tiers. Like, $10 gets you everything for, $5 gets you, a limited amount. But I'm just saying, I want everyone to have the keys to the vault. So for $5. That's that. Patreon, because we are difficult to work with as far as sponsors go, and we say no to more than we say yes to. So,
what's the way that people sign up? Patreon.com/filmvault? The Film Vault?
Yeah, or go to the link AndersonandBrian.com.
Oh, yeah, it's probably right there.
AndersonandBrian.com, and we'll get you there. So sorry for this very long read, but hey, you know what? If you're a patron, you want to hear this, because I'm cutting this out of the Patreon feed that I sent them. Yeah. They don't hear the ads.
What if that was the incentive? Like, we'll start cutting out bullshit for the Patreon.
If you sign up for Patreon, the episodes.
You only get the good stuff.
I also put the episodes up like a day and a half before everyone else gets them. So like if you're a Patreon member, you'd be getting this tonight.
They are getting it tonight.
So if let's say it's a 90-minute episode, Patreon, we just give them the 20 minutes of the best stuff. We cut out all the bullshit. No, I'm kidding. We don't do that. But.
The filet of podcasts.
It's a filet. All right, thanks guys for considering Patreon and help us get to 1,000.
Welcome back. Time to go through our top two feel good movies. Anderson, go ahead.
Oh, it is my turn.
It is your turn. That's number two. You're not used to this.
I'm not. All right, number two for me. I should just let everyone know that it's all documentaries from here on.
Oh, really? I had two also, but they're earlier in the list.
This is a movie that I was not that excited to see because I had heard bad things, which is weird. Considering the story, how do you fuck up Bat Kid How do you fuck that story?
That's an also ran of mine. How awesome. Nice one.
Bat Kid Begins, 2015. I remember when, most of us do remember when the story happened, the day that it happened. All right, a kid was diagnosed with childhood cancer, mm-hmm. and he had, his make-a-wish was something pretty over the top and outlandish and tough to come up with.
Well, he wanted to be a superhero. Yeah, and they took it. You know,
they ran with it. Becoming a superhero is a pretty, I guess they could have put him in a cape and put him in one of those like mm-hmm. indoor playgrounds and right. said, "All right, you're Superman, you're Batman. Right. Go ahead, enjoy." But the entire city of San Francisco came together, the mayor included. Tens of thousands of people were in on it, helping him in this very elaborate, Brian might call it needlessly elaborate scheme.
No, not needless.
To defeat the Joker. You know, the only part of...
Was it the Joker or the Riddler?
It might have been the Riddler. The only part of this movie that I remember having a problem with was the actor. I think there was a couple villains that he had to slay.
Yeah,
and they were like a little bit too into it. But I liked the guy that trained
him.
They
were threatening.
Remember the guy that trained him how to be a superhero leading up to it? Like he was like a Jim Baree type.
Yeah, and it was like he dressed up as Batman also, right?
Yeah.
Like he was Batman. He was Bat Kid.
Yeah. But then he's like, no, now you're Bat. You're Bat Kid. It warms the fucking cockles. And my,
I've written down my notes. Heartwarming. That's right. The Acrobat Training Academy.
I couldn't help but. There was liquid coming from the tear duct. There was liquid coming out of my eyes.
I like that.
You watch Seinfeld?
I have seen every episode, yes.
What is this liquid substance coming from my eyes? Like he's so emotionless. He cried once. He was all confused by it like a robot. Like, what is this liquid? Bat Kid. Yeah, it got the initial feedback, word of mouth that I heard was not good. And I ended up, you know, not watching it until like months after it was released. And when I saw it, I'm like, who the fuck could say this is not good?
I enjoyed it.
What kind of a dick? All they're doing is documenting the day, which is glorious. Yeah. Watching this little kid who is the cutest, sweetest little kid. Honestly, I have not looked up to see what was up with this kid. I don't want to know. Yeah. I don't.
Oh, God. Oh, should we look? No, we should.
I don't want to look.
Do you want to look at my number two?
No. That sounds awful.
It really does.
We're not that show, bro.
You want to get a look at my number two?
All right.
Number two for me. Both of my films, Anderson has two documentaries. I have two films from 2016, Anderson. Number two. A film that I don't know if you assigned it to me or if I saw it and was like, this is amazing. I had not heard it until I think it was nominated for what?
I was picturing asshole listeners just bombarding my email with like what happened to Bat Kid. You fucking dicks. Don't do that. I don't want to know.
Until it was nominated for Best Picture at the Golden Globes, I had not heard of Sing Street. I was like, what the fuck is Sing Street? I think you might have been like, it's really good. Check it out. Sing Street's fucking sweet.
Mm.
Sing Street's sweet. Directed by John Carney, the director of Once. This is starring Ferdia Walsh-Pilow, Lucy Boyden, and Jack Rayner. At the time, it was streaming on Netflix. Let me look real
Brent,
quick.
You know what? As the producer of this program, I'm going to request that you do these kinds of things beforehand.
I really should have.
Sing Street, I can fill some time here. Sing Street's a weird one for me because I remember coming up, I believe, on this show.
Streaming on Roku.
I'm like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. Mm. And then you're like, I think you saw it. And then I looked it up and I'm like, oh, yes, I did see this, but it did not stick with me for whatever reason. I remember the big brother being an asshole. But
big brother's great. I have older brother, top five characters who remind you of your co-host. He said he was an asshole.
He knew all the music, but like he didn't let his brother. But then he finally let his brother in. His little brother in.
He's a little standoffish. That's right.
I remember the trailer for this really well. I don't remember the movie that well.
I love the music. I love the kid actors. It's set at a school like a middle school ish middle school, high school, I guess, in Ireland, and these kids form a band, these unlikely friends, sort of full Monty-ish, but for, you know, the teenage set, they decide to form a band, and the band becomes kind of a cool, you know, cool thing at their school. They're not cool, but they become kind of cool, and it's about this kid, you know, coming of age story, very sweet. He's in love with this girl who obviously, an older girl, has no interest in him.
Right.
It's very sweet. The musical number, that's the thing about all of my movies, they stick the end. Ending. All of these movies end on a great note. Sing Street ends, no pun intended, on a great note. There's a great musical number at their prom at the end of the year. Great casting. I kind of like the kid couldn't sing that well. Like he was like the lead singer, but he wasn't like a great singer. He was just good.
This is, you know what this movie was for me. It's kind of like Frank Light. It's in the same universe and the same kind of vibe as Frank.
96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I wonder what Frank is. Wait, get off Rotten Tomatoes, you fuck.
I'm on Brian. Just Watch.
Brian.
I'm on Just Watch.
Brian.
Shows me the score right here.
You're exposing your ways, Brian.
I'm on Just Watch. Mm-hmm. Look at look at my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look too close.
Interesting.
Don't look too close. Look at the other tabs.
It's just RT, 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 RT.
Ron Tomatoes this week. Ron Tomatoes now.
Number one for me. If we were to do another band list, the problem with a band list when we ban movies from each other, we only did it once, is like, I can't remember. I remember Election was banned from me, but I can't remember any other movies. Yeah. Like, it's tough to remember and stay true to that.
Yeah, I think you may have done Transformers for me.
I would imagine. I think I did like Transformers 1 through 4 or something. And then you're like, yeah, but you didn't ban the cartoon.
That sounds like me.
A new contender for should be banned because it's getting too much airtime and too much love here on the program. Just last week, I talked about how I'd seen it again. I'm talking about last year's Won't You Be My Neighbor, 2018. Won't You Be My Neighbor.
Number one.
Wow. Feel-good movie that I have seen since Brian got diagnosed in 2009.
Seen, like Jerry Lewis.
I love this Won't You Be My Neighbor, the story of Fred Rogers. I don't have to go on about it. Everyone knows what I'm talking about here, right? It's just it's a beautiful thing.
We've talked about a lot on this show in the last year. Probably come up 8 or 10 times.
In fact, you know what? I could actually make an argument for this not being a feel-good movie because the 2 times that I've watched it, I've actually questioned my own parenting and thought, you know what? I could be doing such a better job. Like, it really makes you stand back and
that's
look.
What you bring into it because this is a feel-good movie. This is a movie that gives you a better outlook on the world.
And both times that I watched it, I was not around my son. I saw it the first time, like late night in the theater. He was home sleeping. And when I saw it just a couple weeks ago, I was at my mom's house in Palm Desert, and I was there visiting my mom and my sister, and Atticus was at home, and it made me miss him so much, and it made me just want to go. And I've actually since I saw it the second time, I've started doing something new. For those of you who might not know, I'm pretty much full-time stay-at-home dad, which I never thought I'd love.
Podcast host.
Never thought I'd love, but I absolutely love it. It's my favorite time I've ever had in my entire life. I love waking up with him. I love taking him on different places and just hanging out with
young
him.
Boy.
But because of this movie, I've decided to try and do something different. Just since I saw it most recently, I'm making sure that I do a minimum of 30 minutes of no TV, no music, nothing. Yeah. Just he and I sitting in a room, or he and I
just playing with something.
Usually we do that anyways because we'll go on walks and stuff. But like no walks, just sitting in a room and just I'm figuring out what he wants to do, talking to him, kind of focusing and making
sure. Good.
That
that's great.
At least 30 solid minutes of that a day. And it's been great.
That's great. I wish I did more of that.
I know that I hate when this happens with like comedians that I like and they have a kid and then their entire act becomes about the kid. Right. And I always, people would be like, ask me like, now that you have a kid, like, you're not going to like disturbing movies anymore. Like that's not changing, but I'm afraid that if anything is affecting my taste, it's a movie like Won't You Be My Neighbor. I'm really curious to see how I would have reacted to this movie if I didn't have a kid. I think I would have still loved it, but I don't think it'd be number one on my list today. Perhaps it would be. I don't know. I really can't tell you. I'm not sure.
No way to know.
But I can tell you that I'm thinking, the 2 times that I saw it, I was thinking about my son quite a bit while watching it. So that tells me that it probably has something to do with that.
Our number ones are kind of similar in the way they're affecting us and the way that we view them through the lens of having a kid. Are you done?
So I'm finished. Okay. Won't You Be My Neighbor? There's so many great moments in that movie. And it really, kid or not a kid, I think he's one of the few, I'm done. And then I continue to talk. I think he's one of the very few people that's ever been in the public vortex that is actually honest and just truly a good person.
Yeah.
With
guileless.
And the one negative review that I read, might have just said this recently, but the critic was suggesting that there was a dark side there and they didn't dig deep enough to find it.
Explore it.
And I don't think it was there.
Hard to imagine.
I don't think it was. It's not hard to imagine with just about every single person you meet. And usually that's a good thing. People should have a dark side that they struggle with. I mean,
but
you know what I mean?
The footage would have existed. We mentioned this, like if he had lost it or if he had said something, if he had had some racist side.
The fact
side,
that he was that public and known for that.
It would exist. It would be somewhere.
And I think what makes me believe that he was as on the up and up is.
Someone would have a story.
His weight. Just never changing. He was 143 pounds.
What does that mean?
He was 143 pounds from the time he was like 20 years old. Right. And so, it's just that I think that he just found his groove and just stuck with it. Like, he didn't go up, he didn't go down. He was just very, like,
at age 20, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, he's like, I'm good.
Yeah. I think he did the exact same thing every single day. I think that he just really, and his kids talked, they interview his kids in this documentary, and they say that, like, you know, when he was at the dinner table, if he was talking badly about someone, he would use, like, the Queen's voice that he, you know, the little puppeteer that he did. Like, he would channel, and it was always something pretty banal, right? But, all right, Won't You Be My Neighbor. Fred Rogers is just, he's in it. A lot of people have religious iconography in their life. I don't. Fred Rogers is the closest thing that I have to a deity.
You were done 7 minutes ago.
I know.
Anderson, I don't know.
Him coming from Pittsburgh. Speaking of Pittsburgh, Brian, let me tell you this.
No more Saison for you.
I appreciate everyone giving me the emails and the tweets and let me know, you know, they feel bad for me and my Pittsburgh Penguins getting bounced.
Oh.
They got
wearing the shirt.
They got swept. They got swept in the first round. I've never experienced that in my entire life. Swept in the first round. Brilliant. But you know what? I'm glad it's over. So now I can go back to focusing on work and the boy. And it was nice. If your team's going to get knocked out, at least I didn't have to agonize like first 17 round, games. Yeah, just four games done. Rip that bandaid off. Right off. Okay. So Fred Rogers.
My number one. Are you done?
Fred.
Do you have more thoughts?
I need to get a tattoo where it's Chappie wearing Fred's
sweater vest.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That's not bad.
That's going to be a deep pull. They're going to have to explain that one a lot.
Yeah, I'd have to talk about it too much. Yeah, maybe like Chappie sitting down, taking his shoes off.
That's not bad. Boomerang, toomerang, zoomerang.
What?
That's what he used to say. Boomerang, toomerang, zoomerang.
I never watched a show.
Oh, really? Oh.
I'd watch. Because he'd come on after Sesame Street and he'd disrobe, right? And then once the trolley would come, I'd be like, oh, I'm not going to that land. I didn't like any of the fucking troll dolls.
You know how to drive it home? The tattoo. Have Chappie with the sweater vest, but it's like, you know, chest up and he's holding Daniel Tiger looking at himself, like talking to Daniel Tiger. That's how you do it.
Okay, that's a little too serious. I was hoping for some kind of punchline. I watched Daniel Tiger, which is the continuation of Mr. Rogers. I watched that with Atticus. I don't watch it, but it's on in the mornings when he's having breakfast. But I could not take his fucking Fantasyland or whatever it was called. I did not like the show.
Make-believe.
I did not like the show at all. You watch it?
Never watched. Well, Anderson, thank you. You provided me with the perfect segue. Mm. I don't know, Anderson, if I'm a good dad. I hope I am. I'm doing my best over here. But I can't say for sure that I'm a good father. The things I do fathering are good. However, I can say the one thing I am proudest of, and we'll see how this works out in Tessa's life, but the one thing I'm proudest of, my fathering in the first 2.5 years, I have completely steered Tessa away from television.
You said this before.
And completely steered her into movies. Mm-hmm. She loves movies. She was watching Lion King earlier tonight.
I don't know why you're so proud of this.
She loves The Incredibles. Mm-hmm. She loves Toy Story.
Right.
She loves Nemo. She loves Nemo.
Yeah.
There's one more that she loves. Oh, Wreck-It Ralph. She loves Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay.
But her number one favorite, coincidentally, is my number one.
Mm.
And it's not, I doubt that's a coincidence. It's not a coincidence in the sense that I've now seen this movie 25 times, whereas before I had Tessa, I think I saw it once or twice.
Mm.
It's her favorite movie. I love this movie. And this is really rare with kid stuff. I've grown to appreciate and love it more with like 20 additional viewings. I'm talking about Moana. Moana is my number one feel-good movie.
This is a bizarre twist.
It is a bizarre twist. It's not just because of how it makes me feel vis-a-vis Tessa. She loves the movie, and I love that she gets into it. I love she sings the songs. Moana is a legit great movie. This was a fantastic movie that I loved when it came out.
Mm.
It lost to Zootopia, which is a fucking outrage for Best Animated Feature. Zootopia is fine. Zootopia is fine.
I've seen both of them.
This is a transcendent
movie. Moana is definitely inferior to Zootopia.
Oh, absolutely not.
How many times have you seen Zootopia?
Once. All right. It's fine. It's good.
I've seen it twice.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Moana once, so I guess we're even there.
Moana's fucking beautiful.
It's okay. There's a lot of goofy. The chicken fucking throws me off. And I don't give a shit about the chicken.
It's a minor character.
The one part.
3.5 minutes.
I thought you and I both agreed, actually. I guess you've really turned a corner on this one, because I think that we both gave it like, we both watched it. We both flick fested here on the program. And we both gave it like muddling reviews, right? But we love the shiny.
I did love that scene.
That was the only thing we really loved.
I've come to appreciate the movie a lot more. And here's the thing. Most kids' movies...
Tell me why you loved it.
Most kids' movies will beat you down and be like, oh, no, they're fucking Frozen again. Let it go. Let it go. Fuck, I don't need this again. Moana, like, well, like you pick up on a lot. The themes are fantastic. The girl sort of being steered down one road by her overbearing father. And there's some themes I identify with. Towards, you know, you stay here with the tribe. You stay here on the island. And she's like, no, there's something calling me. The ocean has chosen me for this impossible mission, and I'm going to beat the odds and accomplish this thing that no one thinks I can accomplish. And in the meantime, reforming this character, this Maui character played by The Rock, who's fantastic, and like reforming him and his wayward ways. He's a demigod, so what business do I have as just this little human girl? Like, you know, but I'm reforming his wayward ways and showing him the light, and at the same time saving the world by restoring the heart of Tefiti. It's killing all the islands, but if I restore the heart. And the part at the end where she restores the heart gets me choked up every time.
That's so weird.
Huh?
I mean, all of that you just explained, it's just all like it needs to be there so that she can do these things and sing and like, you know, go through the motions. Like, I feel like they're like, all right, we need an A, we need a B, we need a C. What's it going to be? A heart? Okay, great. And there's a dude that she has to reform.
In the sense that like all Pixar movies follow a formula.
And that's not a Pixar movie.
No, but in the sense that all Pixar movies follow a formula, this is yet they're still great.
This is as shocking as Get Out being your number one out of the fucking blue because you gave it a decent review when you flick fast it. This is weird. Moana, huh?
Really?
I got to think that you're kind of seeing it through your daughter's eyes a little bit. And,
I've certainly come to appreciate it more in the last couple of years.
Let me tell you this. You're self-congratulatory. I am a genius father, and I'm steering my daughter away from TV, only having her watch movies. I appreciate that, being like the film snob guy that I am. However, I'm going kind of the opposite route with Atticus, because the last thing I want to do is for him to like glom on to something that I don't really love. I love Toy Story. Right. I love it. But like that's one that... Jillian, like, she hasn't watched it all the time. Yeah. I'm fucking finally tired of Toy Story. You want to be able to have something that has new dialogue, new characters, new things happening. And I get that with the TV. Okay. I get that with Peppa Pig.
It makes sense.
Thank God. I get that with Hey Dougie, which I absolutely fucking adore. Hey Dougie is like, I know that this is probably awful for you guys who don't have kids, but Hey Dougie is just whimsical and
this
cute.
This is not what people
hilarious.
Tuning in for, Anderson. This is
and,
not what people tuning in.
And, you know, Daniel Tiger, he's like comforting in the morning. And I got the Sesame Street over there, too. You know, with the characters that raised me. It's fantastic.
That makes perfect sense, and you're right about that. The only answer I have for that is there's always another movie. Like, tonight was the first time she watched The Lion King, and she asked for it.
Ooh, how'd she take Mufasa?
Didn't go well.
No.
And she cried a lot.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know.
But when I went to kiss her goodnight, you know what she said to me? Daddy, can we watch Lion King again? She wants to watch it again.
She wants to
she
defeat,
did the same thing
defeat the savage.
She did the same thing with Finding Nemo. When the barracuda, like, eats, you know, all the fish at the beginning, all the eggs, like, she cried and screamed and cried. And next thing she's like, can we watch Nemo again? Like, yeah. And then she comes to the like, is there a barracuda coming? Goes, yes, Tara said, there's a barracuda coming.
Yeah, she thinks it's going to be a new version.
She's into it.
I've not dealt with that yet.
Really?
It's funny, when he was really little, my apologies to all of you like young 20-year-old something, 20
You'll
20
be funs, there someday.
20 funners,
You'll
and you're like,
be
these
there.
Fucking old boomers talking about this shit.
Boomers?
Old boomers, yeah. That's an after disaster
that's
reference.
Right.
Yeah.
Not me, though.
Fuck you, you old fucking boomer.
That's pretty good.
I have not, when he was like 9, 10 months old, I remember we discovered that I showed him Feast. Mm.
Feast is sweet.
He started crying.
Really?
And I'm like, maybe he's just in a mood. I showed him Feast like a week later. Started crying.
Really?
There's it's like a collection of Disney shorts.
Yeah, Feast is sweet.
There's also like a bear little movie on there too with like some music and stuff.
Oh,
makes him cry.
I could have been a hipster and put Feast on here.
Feast would be great. Feast is so feel good. But it makes you feel bad before it makes you feel good.
That's right.
But I have not really experienced him like you really getting devastated by a movie yet.
Oh no, Tessa lost her mind at being an emo. She lost her mind at being a Lion King.
Because I'm kind
but
of
she, but
I'm
she,
not.
She likes that pain.
Jillian and I were talking about taking him to Lion King when it comes out like 90 days from now. They're doing like the 100 day in 100 days. You see that?
No, I haven't seen that. I try to avoid information about.
I want to take him to Lion King because I'm a kingy. I love my Lion King, right. And I'm excited to see what Favreau does. But Jillian's suggesting that we take him in after Mufasa dies. I'm like, that's not how I see movies.
No.
She's afraid of showing
him. I'll text
him.
You from the movie theater and let you know when it's safe to come in.
Yeah.
That's not bad, actually.
He didn't make it through Missing Link. Hmm. Popcorn was over. He's like, let's go. Go now. I don't like it. No, I don't like it.
How far in were you?
an hour.
Oh, well, not bad.
Made it an hour. I went back and watched the rest.
Do you think, I don't know the science behind this at all, but just asking your opinion, do you think the length of TV shows, for half an hour or perhaps an hour, are training would train a kid to not have the patience to sit through a 90-minute movie?
No, I think it's just like the food is,
yeah.
Once the food runs out or he's full on popcorn. Stimulation is, yeah. Because he couldn't follow Missing Link, and Missing Link's not made for a 2.5-year-old.
I think I mentioned this on the Film Vault.
Because he could watch, I've done this, I'll put on like a 2-hour video of trash trucks, just a compilation of trash trucks. Mm. In all different cities. And it's kind of interesting, too. You see, like, different kinds of trash trucks.
Oh, really?
Some of them are so fucking janky, Brian. It's like somebody just, like, hooked up a big box at the back of an F-150. Exactly. Yeah. But he'll sit there completely quiet and transfixed for 90 minutes watching trash trucks.
Yeah. Because Tesla loves excavators. Excavator.
Excavators? Excavators?
Excavator. She calls it's an excavator, but she calls it an excavator.
An excavator.
This is, we're really losing our
Hey, audience. Dirt. See you later.
That's good, actually.
I'm an excavator.
I talked about it on the Film Vault at the time, like last Christmas time, but like Tessa actually sat through the entire Grinch movie. Like the one of the theatrical.
That's impressive. Ken Wong, her badge. He was 30 minutes in. He was out. All right. Apologies for this transgression. I allowed
digression?
It. Digression. Transgression. I allowed it because it's sweet to hear Brian talk about a daughter that many doctors told him he would never be able to
that
have.
That actually is true. Yes. Actually, everyone.
Of any episode that we're going to wax about our fucking kids, that's I think good, this is a pretty good
feel
one.
Feel good.
So.
Feel good. You want to do a listener list?
Yeah. So once again, thanks to Chad Yuki, who's been continuing to do a phenomenal job. In fact, if Chad lived closer to us, I would start to lobby for him to be producer, but he's...
Nope.
3 hours away. Listener list. Number of ties this week. We did have 109 films listed.
Really?
109, that's I believe Yuki said.
It's a large number.
Three-way tie, though, at the number 5. First time we've had a tie since I've been producing, which is a little bit annoying, but they each had multiple votes. Tied for 5 is Back to the Future, Cool Runnings, and Love Action. Love Actually.
As well as
Rudy. Eh. Sorry, Brian.
Yeah, those no, Rudy's a feel good movie. It's sort of like all those, Miracle and what's the one? We Are Marshall, Invincible.
We Are Marshall. I saw that in Vegas. I actually liked it.
It's okay.
McGee. Very un McGee movie.
It's okay.
Number 4.
It's okay.
The Way, Way Back, which it just did not hit me.
That's a feel good movie?
Yeah, people like it.
Oh.
People like it.
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell. Number 3, The Lego Movie. Very feel goody.
Almost on my
very,
list.
Yes.
Almost
all my L's are in. Number 2, The Sandlot. How could it not be? And number 1, The Princess Bride.
It's amazing. I think it was my number 1 last time.
I think it was. I can't remember. I don't listen to you.
Honorable mention to a movie Anderson assigned me years ago and I loved quite a bit, The Sapphires.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Neville. Same guy that directed Won't You Be My Neighbor? No, that's not true. He was
Morgan Neville?
From Stardom. Yeah, he's
No.
Sorry.
No
Sapphire is very, very similar.
And
similar taste, right?
To what?
Sapphire is in 10 Feet from Stardom.
20 Feet from Stardom.
20.
I mean, in the sense that it's about female singers. Yeah.
But they both felt the same type of movie.
Big Fish also just missed making my list. Great movie.
That came up on the original episode as well.
Oh, it did.
10 years ago.
Oh, sure, there you go.
Toy Story, Ferris Bueller, Babe, That Thing You Do, Full Monty. I'm going all over the map since before your diagnosis as well. Bad News Bears, the original, fuck you. The Walk. You know what? The Walk is a forgotten movie, and it was actually pretty fucking good.
That's the tightrope walker?
Yeah.
With
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, I never saw that one.
I saw IMAX 3D, and it actually worked.
I never saw that one. I
believe it's Zemeckis.
Yeah, the Zemeckis movie.
It was good, and it's just completely forgotten. It's about the man on wire. Yeah. Not a bad movie. The Dish. That's a movie that gets no love on the show anymore. It's one of my favorites. I love The Dish. It's a true life story about Australia's part in the satellite communication with the Apollo 11. Mission. I believe it was Apollo 11 mission.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they're all around the world.
Yeah, and there's a blackout spot, and they needed this little town of sheep herders who happened to have a giant satellite dish that was not really being commissioned for anything, and they all had to get together, and it was very, very sweet and very well made, and I loved The Dish. Hot Rod. How could you not love the Hot Rod? Big, The Sandlot, Billy Elliot, Lego Movie, Hiding Out, Rudy, About a Boy, The Iron Giant, and A League of Their Own. All feel-good fucking movies.
Well done.
All right, last week we gambled on Hellboy.
Heelboy. I was pretty close.
Brian said 53.
No, you said 53. I think
I said 53. Brian said 76.
Shit.
Going to the Giovanni.
Did it
email.
Go up by 70 points?
Current scores for this week's gambling. That's not the one. This week's movies for gambling. That's not the one. Results of last week's gambling. That's the one. Needlessly elaborate, he writes numerous times, so I can't see anything. Heelboy, also known as Hellboy, has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 63%.
No, it does not.
Says the audience.
Oh, I was going to say it's 9%.
The tomato meter that we're going off of, though, is 15%, which makes me the clear-cut winner. Jesus. I'm as much of a winner as the Islanders are a winner over the Penguins. Oh. Hey, last week there was no score, Brian. All right?
Yeah, it was 9, I thought.
Well, there was no score when Gio actually sent the email.
Oh, and you sent like earlier on. Right. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
All right, let me look up movies that I have to assign you. Movies for Bri.
I'll read the ones in from this week. Oh, we can both do this. Is great. This week's movies for gambling.
You know what? I want you to watch Fitzcarraldo.
Fitzcarraldo. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Enjoy that one. And then you know what? You know what you can do?
What's that?
You can watch. I'm drawing a blank. I've had too much to drink. Damn it.
You haven't had that much to drink.
I know. I don't eat, though. That's a good point. I was going to say, there's a great documentary. It's like right on par with Hearts of Darkness. Yeah. It's a companion piece to Fitzcarraldo. Fitzcarraldo, one of the great Werner Herzog movies that he made back in the 70s. What's that? Klaus Kinski.
Oh, I thought you, oh yeah. There's a making of
Something Desire. Something.
Fear and Desire?
No, that's Kubrick's first movie that's trash.
Fear and Desire?
No, Dreams and Desire. Dreams and... Fuck! Must know!
Easy, buddy.
I'm sorry. Fitzcarraldo. Fitzcarraldo. It might be early 80s, actually. Fitzcarraldo. 82. Yeah,
Desire 82. Under the Elms? Desire Me?
No.
Desire Inc.?
All no.
Desire Will Set You Free?
Werner Herzog documentary.
There's a film called Wings of Desire?
No.
Probably much easier ways.
Fitzcarraldo documentary will give me the answer. I'm Googling this right now. Burden of Dreams has nothing to do with Desire. Burden of Dreams. Fuck, it's good.
Can I see that?
So good. No, you got to watch Fitzcarraldo. You got to actually do the work.
What if I saw Burden of Dreams? Would that be bad?
8.0 on IMDb. You know, anything north of 7.5 is pretty
94%.
High. 94%. That seems low. All right. Gambling on what this week, Brian? Open the email. We both get them from Giovanni. Thank you to Giovanni and Chad.
I think
this
is a pretty slow week.
Peluso? Is that how you say his last name?
I believe so.
Giovanni Peluso?
I believe this is a very... actually, no. There's one film I heard of. Well, there's one and a half, but I don't know much about the other one.
I'm looking at the list, too. Number one.
What is number one?
Under the Silver Lake.
The fuck is that?
It's the guy that did It Follows. It's his follow-up to It Follows. Finally, we're getting to see Under the Silver fucking Lake.
I know what the fuck that is.
It Follows?
No, I know what that is. What is Under the Silver Lake?
It's been shrouded in secrecy.
You don't want to do Disney's Penguins?
No.
Come on, man. You know you've seen the trailer.
That's number five, dude. Teen Spirit? You don't know Teen Spirit?
I do know Teen Spirit. That I sort of know.
That's another tough week, man.
Disney's Penguins? Yeah,
these last couple of weeks, like first couple of weeks of middle 2 weeks of April are soft spots.
Well, I think they're trying to stay away from Avengers.
Yeah, but this is the weekend to strike.
That's right.
I'll do Disney's Penguins. I don't care. It's
In honor of your penguins.
All right. You ready?
Actually, that's a bad idea because I have no insight on this whatsoever. It looks terrible.
Mm-hmm. All right, I got my score.
What is your score?
67. Ooh, in honor of my penguins.
70 in honor of your penguins.
Because they were created in 1967.
Oh, okay.
The next six, Brian. The next six. Because they had the original six and then the next six. That was the second wave, Brian.
Do you want me to look up current scores? I say we're only separated by 3 points.
We have an email from Giovanni. So why don't we
That's what I'm saying. Do you want me to
current
open
scores? It? Yeah. We're looking at 67. 88. Fuck, what'd you say? What'd you say?
I said 88. I said 70.
I said 88.
Yeah. Under the Silver Lake, 51%. Teen Spirit, 75%. Thank you, Gio. Special thanks to Gio for sending this every week. That's very helpful. Appreciate it, Mang.
Thanks, buddy. And Chad Yuki.
Chad Yuki for tabulating.
So your score was 70?
You got to start putting that on the listener note, on the episode notes. People will thank, if you don't mind, please, because I always forget. Chad Yuki.
Oh, yeah. I should do that. Yeah.
Thanks, Chad, for tabulating. Appreciate it. Let me look at the listener art for this
week. You did 70, right, Brian? 70 this week, Penguins.
I did. wait, who is... Oh, is that Allison Rosen? Wait, why?
Yeah, everyone's in there, yeah.
That's a very strange pairing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Corolla?
It is. Yeah, yeah.
All right. I need some explanation here, Aaron Stevens. Thanks, Aaron Stevens, for being our fan artist of the week. Check it out, AndersonandBrian.com. Go do yourself a favor and waste some time, AndersonandBrian.com. Just looking back through the listener art. It's a lot of fun. If you don't do that on a regular basis, make it part of your routine every once in a while, because there is great, great, hilarious listener art on there. Some well done, some schlockily done, all good.
Yeah, all handpicked. And you know what? I'm running very dry. I'm running low. So send some more over to contact at the Film Vault. Actually, just send it to Anderson at AndersonCowan.com.
There you go.
For sure, I'll get it.
A lot of people send it to us on Facebook, so check that. It amazes me and warms my heart that people send that, and we have one for every week. That's crazy. So
I'm really low, though, dangerously low. Oh. Actually, I got to use I might have to use a political one next week about Trump, which it's Trump humpers instead of trash humpers.
Oh, we should have done that.
Done it a couple weeks ago with the Beach Bump coming out, because it's a Harmony Korine film. But yeah, my buddy Chad Ice did that one for me. So Trump humpers, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Thanks to Youth Culture, the MTET, and the Maladies of Adam Stokes for our artists, our music this
featured
week. Thanks,
artists.
Guys, for being our feature artists and providing the music. Yes, get your raffle tickets now. Where can people go? Anderson, do you have a place for them to go?
AndersonandBrian.com. It'll be at the top. I'll just have a link right there. Real easy for you to get to the actual page.
To go bowling with us.
Yeah, come bowling, come drinking, and get flowing out here if you're out of state or out of city.
Like that. I don't like that.
Why don't you like that?
Yeah, the money's got to go to charity, man.
I know, but if we raise a bunch of money, which I'm thinking we're going to raise our goal. Our goal is $5,000 between the three shows.
And I almost opened my big mouth and said I'll match any donations from this show. Can we track that?
Yeah, we're tracking that. You got to match a donation? Look at that.
I'm worried that we're just going to be too high.
Right.
Up to a certain amount.
But you might win, though.
Well, what if that guy's go bowling with us? That'd be so sweet. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/thefilmvault. Available now at Clockwork Orange Sniff Tracks.
It's true.
Can people buy that?
Not at the moment, but yeah, I'll make all of these extra things that are part of the Patreon for $5 a month. I'll make all of them available. I think some of them might be available already. Everything will be available a la carte, but for $5, guys, because it's a pain in the ass and we don't like to do Gumroad. No. Each thing is $5. So if you don't want to be Patreon, but you want to just hear the Sniff Tracks, $5.
Okay.
If you want to just hear us waxing about US, or also known as us, in a 20-minute spoiler discussion, $5. See what I'm saying? You can access, but you got to pay a month's worth for one thing.
Because
I don't want to go that route.
It makes sense. Makes sense going the other way. The Film Vault on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks, guys, for listening, voting, doing all you do. Until next time.
We do it for Mango. Me so fucking thick it's darkening. No, I've got just played my back. Ready to come, ready.